Show, Carson Smith, coming to you live this Thursday afternoon from the InfoWars headquarters here in Austin, Texas. Very big show for you today. Joel Webbin will be joining us in the third hour. Very controversial figure on X because of his hot takes about religion and politics and others. Very excited to talk to him. We got a lot of stories to get to. Somalia and the invasion of Minnesota by Somalians will be the main focus of a lot of our coverage today. I've done a lot of digging into this, and I have some horrifying things to show you. But we'll begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Thursday, the 4th of December, 2025. Suspect arrested in January 5th D.C. pipe bomb case. The FBI has arrested a suspect in its investigation into pipe bombs planted near the Republican and Democratic National Party headquarters in Washington, D.C. Brian Cole Jr., 30 years old, was arrested and charged with transporting an explosive device and attempting malicious destruction by means of explosive material, according to the charging document filed Thursday afternoon. The arrest marks a breakthrough in a case that has stymied investigations for nearly 5 years. Attorney General Pam Bondi credited investigators and prosecutors for sifting through evidence that had been sitting at the FBI, noting how no new tips led to the arrest. Just a reinvestigation of the evidence already in their hands. I'm not so sure about this. We'll tell you what they're saying, and we'll show you the video from the press conference. Just call me skeptical if you want. Seems a bit coincidental that we have literally zero new updates for 5 years on this case. Then Steve Baker and the Blaze come out saying that they're pretty certain that they've discovered who planted the bombs, claiming it was a Capitol Police woman who later joined the CIA. And then a week later, suddenly we have an arrest of this anarchist guy. It's just, what a coincidence. What an incredible coincidence. What are the odds, folks? What are the odds? Unbelievable is what they are. So, yeah, we'll return to this, but it's all very convenient. Meanwhile, CDC vaccine advisors to revisit hepatitis B vaccine at birth. Federal vaccine advisors selected by Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. delayed until Friday a vote to lift a longstanding recommendation for all newborns to get the hepatitis B vaccine in what would be the most sweeping revision to the childhood vaccine schedule under Kennedy. The advisors heard presentations in the morning, including from two prominent vaccine critics hired by the CDC, casting doubt on the safety and necessity of three-dose series of hepatitis B vaccines given to babies, despite widespread agreement by medical and public health experts that the vaccine is safe and effective. Safe and effective, but also unnecessary and also not safe or effective, but it might be effective. At giving girls cancer, the whole thing's ridiculous. It's just another one of these things where it's the valve. It's the governmental valve that we've been discussing, the one-way ratchet. When they introduced hepatitis B vaccines, when they, by fiat, dictated that every single newborn within 10 minutes of breathing their first breath be injected with this vaccine for a disease you only get by sharing drug needles, it just sort of happened. It just sort of appeared, and it just, you know, quietly was integrated. And yeah, now you have to do this, even though it's a much more significant change going from not injecting your baby with a denuded hepatitis B vaccine to injecting them. A lot bigger of a deal than just going back to not doing that. Regardless, that happened originally without a discussion, without objection, without even really weighing the pros and cons. It just sort of happened. Now that they want to reverse that decision, we're going to have infinite and possibly impossible to overcome barriers to reversing that decision. Meanwhile, Representative Ilhan Omar discusses Trump's attacks on Somali immigrants. This is not going well for them. We'll get into this. We're just, the Somali immigrant topic is going to be a major topic of conversation today as we just point by point dismantle everything anybody ever says positive about that population. Pentagon says Pete Hegseth completely cleared of Signalgate controversy. Thank goodness. Let's get back to calling him a war criminal about the boats, okay? Because it's not ending. They're not going to stop until they get Hegseth out. It's the key point in their entire plan to, you know, overthrow Trump with the military. It must be done. We just have to find a scandal to do it with.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress, and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexShowStore.com.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. We got a lot to cover today. We've got this statement from a Venezuelan military intelligence whistleblower confirming the CIA outsources election rigging technology like Smartmatic from Venezuela. Pretty bombshell stuff. Of course, you're watching Alex Jones show. You saw him discussing that. And we'll get back into that. But I think we'll start with the pipe bomber press conference that occurred. I'm just a little suspicious of it. I'd love to live in a country where when the FBI, the Attorney General of the nation, and the FBI director and like these very important and high-powered people get up and speak into the camera saying that something happened, I would love to be able to believe them. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be nice to have the most authoritative people in your nation telling you the truth to the point that you can just accept what they say without skepticism? We're not anywhere near that at this point, and I have a lot of questions about the discovery of this pipe bomber. Is it coincidental? Is it just a coincidence that about a week or so ago, Steve Baker and The Blaze came out saying they thought they had identified the pipe bomber through gait analysis and determined that it was a member of the Capitol Police Force who was later recruited by the CIA? And then just 1 week later, they claimed to have found the real person, some guy named, was it Brian Cole, I think. Is that just coincidence? Was that that's just random, huh? So for 5 years, we get literally nothing. I mean, has there been, unless I'm misremembering, it was shortly after January 6th, we got the video of the pipe bomber themselves, and then that was it. That was in early 2021. We are now at late 2025, and there's been no development whatsoever for 5 years, and then a week after The Blaze claims to have found the pipe bomber, the FBI comes out and says, no, actually, we just found him just now. What do you know? We're so good at our jobs. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about this. I don't necessarily have anything specific to point to, just a general sense of skepticism. Brian Cole Jr., 30, was arrested and charged with transporting an explosive device and attempted malicious destruction by means of explosive materials. Attorney General Pam Bondi credited investigators and prosecutors for sifting through evidence that had been sitting at the FBI, noting that no new tips had led to the arrest. Quote, this investigation is ongoing, Bondi said. As we speak, search warrants are being executed and there could be more charges to come. Okay, cool. Again, they gave a bunch of speeches. I thought about clipping some of them out, but it's a lot of chest beating and not a lot of information about it, actually. I have one selected clip from the pipe bomber presser. It's Janine Pirro, who apparently was sort of in charge of this task force. Here's a video of them raiding the suspect's house. They say he continued to make bomb material even after his failed attempt on January 5th. Why did it fail? Why didn't the bombs go off? That's my question. Were they explosive? Did you just not do it very well? I'm just confused. Why didn't the bombs go off if they were there for like 17 hours? And if they didn't go off when they were supposed to, why didn't he go collect them? I'm just thinking through this here in real time. So you've got this person who goes and drops off a bomb in front of the DNC and a bomb in front of the RNC. And then walks away. It's got a timer on it. It's got an egg timer on it, like a kitchen timer. Now, I have one of those kitchen timers. It goes up to 60 minutes. Is this some sort of modified one that had a longer fuse? Or did he set it, prime it to explode in 30 minutes, and then just left and never went back? Like, why would he not go back to collect the bomb if it didn't go off? Why didn't it go off? I don't think any of these questions were answered. Viva Fry clipped out one part, and he's like, this is the most information you get from the press conference. It's Jeanine Pirro talking about the way that they, I guess, found the end caps from the bomb and then systematically went through every single purchase of those end caps from every single store in America to try to cross-analyze where it could have come from with other activity from what they knew of the suspect. Sounds very complicated and fake. Sounds very complicated and very not true. Let's go to Jeanine Pirro. Here's her celebrating finding the January 5th pipe bomber. Let's watch.
You know, folks, this case involved millions of pieces of data. And it is a huge win because it was like finding a needle in a haystack. So much of this evidence was very specific, but a lot of it was also very general. For example, there were 233,000 black end caps of the type that were used in this case. I want you to think about the fact that the FBI had to go through the sale of every one of them to try to find commonality with an individual along with the purchase of the pipe itself, the cap ends, the wires, the steel, and the 9-volt batteries. Every one of those had to be mined and remined to the point where we were able to then connect. And make no mistake, it was this administration, it was this president who made the decision that we were going to use all of our efforts to get it done, and get it done they did.
Have you recovered the notable sneakers? Have you done surveillance of this suspect from that aha moment to when you exercised the search warrants today? And obviously this happened on January 5th into January 6th. How should the public look at this case separate from all of the cases related to what transpired on January 6th and the president's subsequent pardons?
I'm going to let Director Patel take the evidence part. We have to be careful again. You've asked very good investigative questions, but this is ongoing, very active. But America should feel safer today. We say a pipe bomb. These are bombs. These were live, active bombs that were placed in Washington, D.C. Director.
Thank you. This shows you how much detail you and the American public have paid attention to this case. Of course, we analyzed everything that you're seeing on this poster board and information that you will see through the formal charging process and court process. But we want to let that evidence speak for itself because, again, we do not want to disrupt the accountability that we owe the American public. Yes, you heard about the cell phone tower data. Yes, you heard about, of course, we surveil individuals who we think we're going to blow up American citizens. But how and when we do it and why we do it is not something we're ever going to reveal unless the Department of Justice deems it fit at trial. So we appreciate your attention to detail and your hardcore investigative work, but you can just imagine some of those same skills were being utilized by this FBI, this Department of Justice, our partners, the ATF, and everybody across the board. And this is an interagency win for the American people.
Okay, so that's what we got. That's the information we got, more or less, from this press conference. Apparently, they stormed the house around 8:15 a.m. this morning. A neighbor looked out the window and saw officers standing outside the suspect's home, ordering people to inside to come out with their hands raised. The daughter saw Officers handcuff a middle-aged woman and a younger man, place them in a patrol car, and then return them to the house. It wasn't clear if they were brought back out again, the neighbor said. The neighbor said it's a quiet block with friendly neighbors. He didn't appear to interact with people that lived at the address. And this was in Northern Virginia, where this guy was arrested. The FBI said the pipe bombs, which were discovered about 15 hours after they were placed, were viable devices that could have seriously injured or killed bystanders. The Bureau said investigators have conducted more than 1,000 interviews and reviewed tens of thousands of video files. Last month, it says the FBI debunked another piece of speculation that suggested the bombs were planted by a former Capitol Police officer. I don't remember it being debunked. I remember them denying it, but I don't think anybody ever sued over it for defamation, which you would expect since they, you know, published the person's name and face and everything in the accusation. They're pretty confident in it. And then 1 week later, we get this Brian Cole Jr. fella. So there you go. The speculation, or at least the reporting so far, is that he's an anarchist, I guess, which would align sort of with Antifa theology, ideology. But there's a lot of still unanswered questions about all of this. Like, I guess what we're being told is the way they found him was through tracking the purchases of these end caps for the PVC bomb, or not PVC, but whatever, the pipe end caps. I'd like to know what else they did that failed. Like, how do you not find this guy for 5 years? How do you not have any new information for 5 years? You're not tracking his cell phone. You're not able to track him as he goes through the city. You weren't able to find a vehicle that he got into, anybody that he interacted with. I mean, all we have was like 30 seconds of video footage. And even in that footage, the man is seen waving a salute to a cop car as it rolls by. That's a little suspicious. Again, if these bombs were viable and primed and live, why didn't they go off? I mean, put yourself in the mindset of a pipe bomber, okay? Think about it for yourself for a little bit. How many of these things would you do, right? Would you set a bomb for 15 hours? I mean, when you're making a bomb, it's a pretty safe thing to do. If you're at home, if you haven't, you know, searched the stuff, like, no one's going to come kicking down your door while you're making the bomb. You know, unless you're speeding or driving erratically, no one's going to pull you over while you carry the bomb. There's only a very small moment where your whole plan can be discovered, exposed, and stopped, and that's after you plant the bomb and before it goes off. So that's the time you want to minimize, right? I'm just thinking, you know, hypothetically here. If I was trying to bomb somewhere, what I wouldn't do is plant a bomb where it can be seen by any passerby and have it go off 24 hours later. What? Typically, isn't the point of having a time bomb that it's enough time for you just to get away and then it goes off? Isn't that the point? Now, well, you have an egg timer because you don't need to set something for 12 hours from now. You set it for 1 minute from now, just get you enough time to clear the area. I mean, I guess if he was trying to, like, flee the country, maybe you'd set it for an hour. But then when you hide it a little better, this isn't making sense to me, personally. Was it set to go off in 16 hours and they found it 15 hours in, thank God? Is that what happened? Or did he set it to go off in 30 minutes and then it didn't and he thought, yeah, oh, well. I tried, you know. Gave it my best shot. Oh, well. He just left it there. Like, you'd either, if you set it for a brief timer and then nothing happens, you're either going to go pick it up because you don't want it to be discovered because it's still intact, which means there's still evidentiary qualities to it. So you don't want the police to find your intact, unexploded bomb. So maybe you just go collect it so the police don't get it, or you would go collect it so you could figure out what was wrong with it so you could set it off again. I'm just thinking out loud here. What was this exactly? And what was the person trying to accomplish? Now, according to the press conference, we got a lot of vague vocabulary about an attack on our way of life. Okay, what? But why on January 5th? Why at the DNC and the RNC? A lot of this just isn't aligning for me. So maybe we'll find out more as more information is forthcoming. the timing to me is still the most suspicious part, but there's a lot of these other questions that don't have answers either. There's also the fact that the bomb itself was made to look like to the exact specifications and using the exact materials that the FBI uses when it's foiling bomb plots. It's a really common thing that they'll do. The FBI, and sometimes it'll be that they actually start the whole process in the first place, but other times it is legitimate where they'll infiltrate a group of some sort or, you know, identify a person that is making extremist content, extremist statements, and they'll get in contact with them undercover and they'll help them to carry out their plan. Of course, they think they're being helped. Really, it's the FBI just luring them in. And they'll usually go so far, like to get the conviction, you can't just arrest somebody and go, trust us, he wanted to build a bomb. He was totally going to do something, but we stopped him. You have to actually fulfill certain requirements. Like there's a checklist you have to get to, and it's very specific. There's things like the FBI has to ask them at least 3 times, are you sure you want to do this? Okay, so what happens is you get some radical guy, he's pissed off. Like there's a movie about this. There's like an FBI film about this. I need to find the name for it. But in that story, and it's based on a true story, there's a guy from Alaska. He was pissed off that his house was being foreclosed on by the bank, and he blamed this district judge for ruling against him. So he was going to go bomb the district judge. And so he goes to his nephew, who is an explosives expert in a construction company, and says, hey, can you give me a bomb? His nephew goes, this isn't good, calls the FBI and says, hey, I think my uncle's going to bomb somebody. The FBI says, okay, you're working with us. Do what your uncle said. Help your uncle, you know, pretend to build him a bomb. We're going to give you a fake bomb. But the uncle has to take that bomb, plant the bomb, set the bomb, in his mind, thinking he's bombing somebody. Then you arrest him. So you go, this wasn't just a guy talking about doing this. He tried to do it. Now, it was a fake bomb that we supplied, that the FBI supplied him, so it didn't succeed. But if we hadn't been there, then he would have done this with another bomb, you know. So he goes to jail. But you have to, like, 3 times you have to go, well, you're about to plant the bomb. Are you sure you want to? You don't have to. And they have to give him at least 3 times or else it's entrapment. And the case won't go anywhere. So like they have very particular methods for doing that exact thing. You find somebody who's a radical, they want to bomb somebody, you give them a fake bomb, they go plant the fake bomb, you arrest them, no harm, no foul. Nobody gets hurt, no bomb explodes, the bomb was never a real bomb in the first place. That's how this works. So when they do that, they have, you know, particular bombs that they make, right? They aren't just coming up with a new type of bomb every time they run one of these operations. They have a standard bomb that they create, and it looks exactly like the one that was found. And the one that was found didn't explode after 15 hours. So it was either never going to explode, never actually rigged to explode, or rigged to explode 15 or more hours after it was planted. That doesn't make any sense. So anyway, those are my questions I still have about it. Seems to me, just on first blush, like this, that just seems a lot like it's the cover-up. It's a patsy. It's what they've come out with to stop everybody speculating about who the real bomber is. I personally haven't seen a picture or a video of this guy yet. We're showing videos of the guy's home there in Northern Virginia. Looks like a very nice home. Of course, Northern Virginia does happen to be the place where all of the intelligence community offices and homes are based. It is the richest part of the entire country because it's where all of the government contractors, weapons manufacturers, and heads of the military industrial complex make their home. And that seemed to be a very well-off neighborhood that this person was in. So maybe we'll find out more about that as time unfolds. But I have my questions. But I'm just a little suspicious. Sorry. Sorry about that. Oh, geez. Okay, so we're going to move on. Do we need to get into Somalis? Do we have to get into Somalis? Let me ask you this question first. What does it mean if I say to you, BOGO sups? Does that mean anything to you? If you're walking down the street, somebody sees you and winks at you and says, you know, it's BOGO sups right now. Are you offended? What do you think that means? I'd never heard of it until yesterday, but it exists now. It's the short, it's this cool Generation Z shorthand way of saying buy one, get one free on all supplements. That's what it means. It's the code word. Now you know. Little wink and a nod. Buy one, get one free on all supplements at thealexjonesstore.com. It's the 12 days of Christmas sale. BOGO subs. Hashtag BOGO subs. For the remaining 10 days, there will be, we will be running a series of limited time sales. These sales could end without warning, so make sure you take action before they end. Basically, they go until we run out, and we could run out at any moment. All supplements are buy one, get one free while supplies last. This ends on Saturday. Add any supplement to your cart and get any other supplement free. This is actually better than BOGO, okay? This is BOGO Plus. This is you buy any supplement, and you get any other supplement free. Most of the time, people do buy one, get one free sales. It's whatever your cheapest product is will be free, but not us. Us, it's you buy one supplement of any sort, you get any other supplement free. So you can buy a cheap one, get an expensive one. And by the way, we have some really nice new supplements now. I probably shouldn't even be giving you these tips. I probably should be maximizing the profit that we make, but I'm going to do it anyway. We got this new DNA supplement, and it is incredible. And it's sort of our follow-up. It is the younger brother. The new and improved version of DNA Force Plus, and it's called DNA Revival, Ultra DNA Revival, I should say. And, you know, those tend to be a little bit more expensive because the products in there, the supplements in there are so difficult to harvest and bring to you at such a high quality. So, hey, again, I probably shouldn't be telling you this. Buy a cheap supplement. Get DNA, Ultra DNA Revival for absolutely free with BOGO subs. Buy one, get one supplements on thealexjonesstore.com. The offer ends very soon. Of course, when it sells out, these products sell out. And of course, every single entry, every single dollar you spend gets 50 times entries to the raffle to win either one of these cars, the Ford Raptor or the Jeep 392, both just top of the line, brand new, incredibly decked out SUVs. Somebody's got to win them. Why not you? Go to thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. If you want to let them know who sent you and keep us on the air and in the fight, of course, we cannot do it without you. And we don't just say that. It's not just us, you know, trying to spin you up here. Like literally we'll go away. We will actually go away forever. We do not have billionaires keeping us propped up. We do not have pharmaceutical companies keeping us propped up. All we have is you. And we appreciate so much when you go to thealexjonesstore.com and keep us afloat and on the air. I am going to get into the Somalis. I am going to get into the siege of Minneapolis, the conquering of Minnesota, and I have so much to get to about this. I'm not even going to be able to in this 3-hour show. There's more than you can even imagine. And I just I don't even know how to explain it. America is being screwed in so many different directions. Like death by a thousand cuts doesn't even rise to it. Like just scrolling through X today, it's just like Somali stealing billions of dollars. The CDL truck drivers being, you know, American truck drivers being screwed. Just immigration as a whole is just one gigantic con job screwing us out of our past and our future. But that's like just barely scratching the surface. And we've done this to ourselves. And that's what I want to try to emphasize to people. You know, like the devil's greatest trick is making people think he doesn't exist. Or as Alex puts it, making people think that good doesn't exist. The liberal's greatest trick is making people think this is inevitable. It's not.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers on it, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting on a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Feel a lot like Christmas. What do you do during Christmas? During the Christmas season? Of course, you go to the mall. Of course, you got to go to the mall. You got to see the big tree and take pictures in front of it. If you got kids, you got to go sit on Santa's lap. You got to do shopping for your friends and family. It's just, the mall's not really what it used to be anymore, is it? I have very, very fond memories of the Galleria. Houston has a giant ice skating rink right in the middle. It's just the perfect setting for Christmas. Maybe not so much in Minnesota. Maybe the most iconic mall of them all, Mall of America, might be a good place to start our discussion. What has happened with the Somalians in Minnesota? And there's a couple angles to take in this. But I think my point here, you know, there's that classic phrase, it's easier to trick somebody than convince somebody they've been tricked, fool somebody tell somebody they've been fooled. That's sort of my obligation here, is I'm here to tell Americans, you have all been tricked. You have all been tricked, and you have all or continue to be tricked, and it's time to wake up from this. And it's time to stop listening to the liars and the tricksters making you a fool, and to really understand what the consequences of this trickery has been. So I can hear it now. Like, people have this, like, the hair on the back of their neck stands up, and they get angry if you say something like, we need to get all of these frickin' Somalians out of Minnesota. They feel like it's almost like you're attacking their character, because they're like, no, this is who we are. No, we're so open, we're so charitable, we're so good, and you are trying to steal that from us. And I'm here to tell you, there is nothing good, there is nothing moral, there is nothing ethical about being taken advantage of. And that's what's happening here. You are not a good person for giving to somebody who says they're a charity but then spends the money on a car. You're not a good person for being taken advantage of. And that's really what I want to emphasize. I want to wake people up, shake them out of their hypnotism, the coma that they're in, that has them thinking that what's going on right now is somehow inevitable, is somehow a natural consequence of the modern world. Not that you have the ability to stop this trajectory, deflect, re-aim it, but rather it's up to you to reform yourself to fit with the modern reality. And I always talk about how apparent this came to me, and it really is like hard to explain unless you experience it, going to somewhere like Japan. Because even if you don't consciously think it, it's just sort of assumed in America that all of the chaos, all of the crime, all of the insanity that we deal with on a daily basis is just part and parcel with the modern world. Like, the modern world is fast, it's chaotic, it's overcrowded, and it's just sort of, this is just what's going to happen because humans can only organize so well. We're kind of constantly playing keep up to just, you know, the natural development of humanity. And then you go to somewhere like Japan and you go, wait a second, they're more modern than us, more and better technology than we have, better organized, you know, more integrated technological advancements. And there's none of that. There's none of the chaos. There's none of the havoc. There's none of the misery, at least not that you can see in the way that you can see it driving around a street in America. And so, you know, whether it's just like a homeless camp cropping up under the bridge, or the mall that you used to take your kids to becoming the war zone of gangs, these things don't just happen. They don't just occur. It's not just a natural development of humanity. They are the consequences of decisions made by people who desire these outcomes. It's on purpose. And I really don't understand people that grew up in the old world, the world that I was born into, the boomers out there that lived until they were 30 or 40 in an America that was largely homogenous, fairly safe, and certainly extremely aesthetically pleasing. And then to experience the 30 years of abject decline and to not be outraged by this. To look at what it used to be like, look at where it is now, and not be infuriated at the deliberate destruction that has been wrought on your home, against your family. I don't understand why people are okay with this. And the only reason I really think that the powers that be get away with it is because they've convinced people that this just occurs. I've said this many times, like, the key to being a quote-unquote conspiracy theorist and understanding how the world actually works is understanding that things don't just happen. You know, 50,000 Somalis didn't just crop up in the middle of Minnesota all of the sudden one day And they're all looking around like, what? How'd we get here? And everybody else going, I don't know. I guess we'll have to build houses for you. This is weird. This was a policy. It was deliberate. And the outcome was as designed. It's what we're experiencing now. I'm rambling a lot, but the point is, let's start it with clip 36. The point is, when I was 3 years old, this is what the country looked like. Clip 36. This is the Mall of America in Minnesota, biggest mall in the world. Sort of an icon of American capitalism. And this is what it looked like in 1993 during the winter break. Looks pretty nice. Looks pretty nice. Let me just keep this going as B-roll. This was 1993. Now, the first Somalis arrived in Minnesota this year, 1993. This was the world they entered into. And we can skip ahead, skip around. This is like an hour-long home video footage. This isn't something produced by the Mall of America, giving you the best vision of it. This isn't something that, you know, I went through and chose in particular things that look particularly good. It's just a home video showing an average day at the Mall of America, looking like a freaking utopian theme park full of happy people and families having fun, okay? It went from this to what it is now. We can go to clip 34 here, or clip 35, or any of these other clips. Goes from that to this. Oh, look, it's roving gangs of Somali youth beating each other. Look, it's turned into a war zone. What do you know? What do you know? And it is ironic that literally there's like a ton of videos of this fight in particular. But yeah, this is the same mall. Same Mall of America, only instead of, you know, happy families and polo shirts and khaki pants, you have a bunch of men in dresses wandering around fighting each other. Wow, incredible. Wait, was this a positive development? Are we doing better now than we were before the Somalis arrived? Did this just happen one day? Or is this the consequence of 3 decades of deliberate demographic replacement? And it is ironic that like these gangs of the Somali youth are fighting, and then there's like 3 white security guards have to come in and stop the chaos. As another example, Minnesota streets. These are again roving gangs of Somalis. Now, I keep using that phrase in particular because that's the phrase that the attorney general, or the district attorney, the county attorney for Hennepin County, clip number 21, that's the term she used when she says there are no roving gangs of Somali criminals. Okay. Well, I just showed you like 4 videos of them. Let's go now to clip number 21.
County Attorney Mary Moriarty. There are reports that the Trump administration is planning to send ICE agents here to the Twin Cities to target our neighbors of Somali descent. This is part of a recent pattern to single out our Somali community members. This is rooted in the idea that if they spew hatred, it will divide us. But we won't let that happen. There are no roving gangs of Somali people in this community harassing, threatening, doing anything to any of our community members. And let me repeat that again, because I've heard this often. There are no roving gangs of Somalis targeting or harassing or doing anything inappropriate to any community members. Those are simply lies. It is not true.
It doesn't happen. Don't believe you're lying. Out. See, this is the real battle that we're up against. To get to the Somalis, you got to get through the lesbian attorneys. The poor, innocent, loving Somalis are protected by a phalanx of your Ellen DeGeneres types. They're ready to make sure that no matter how many billions of dollars they steal, no matter how many children get raped or kidnapped, no matter how much the social services strain under the weight of a destitute and scam-ridden population, they will remain forever, okay? We have to get through those people first in order to eject the Somalis. So again, just abject, blatant lies There are no roving gangs of Somalis doing anything to anyone ever. This has been a established feature of Minneapolis for the last decade. Showed you the video yesterday from Alex Jones from a decade ago. And the, you know, the song, "We love our Somalis. Oh, they're so good. Oh, they're so sweet." You know, that's because a Somali person had stabbed somebody at a mall 10 years ago, right? Because this has been an ongoing crisis for a decade. I can still remember videos from back in, I think, 2015, outside of the train station in Minneapolis, where you had a white guy coming home drunk at like 2 a.m. And there's a video somebody's filming from an apartment balcony. And it's just a gang of Somali youth just like taking turns jumping on him and kicking him in the head. It's actually kind of a regular feature now, 30 years after the immigration began. And, you know, as I was going through footage and looking for footage of the Mall of America, or, you know, just Somali Mall, I saw this one video and I didn't save it because it wasn't what I was looking for. But, and now I can't find it, but I didn't realize till afterwards how sort of poignant it was. It's going to be kind of hard to explain, so stick with me. But the Somali community in Minnesota has recently been busted for running multiple billion-dollar scams to funnel money to terrorist groups in their homeland, Somalia. And a lot of people are out there saying this is a clash of cultures because Somalis are low trust. And they keep using that word. And it's often a word that's invoked when you're talking about populations or, you know, demographic homogeneity. As you hear, there's high trust and low trust societies. There's a difference, though. There's a problem with that, however. I'm looking for videos for a Somali mall. I find a video of a white guy who's going through a Somali shopping center in Minneapolis. I swear, I've searched for an hour to find this video again. I can't find it, so I'm just going to have to explain it to you. But he's walking around a Somali shopping center and he's saying, "Yeah, we're like the only two white guys here. There's like a giant Somali flag painted on the ceiling." And he's going like floor to floor. And he's like, "You know, the weird thing is a lot of these shops, if there's no customers, the people running the shop just leave." And so he's walking into stores where there's nobody there. And he's like, "Yeah, this is such a high trust society. They don't even worry about locking their stores or shutting the door to their stores if they're not there, because it's a high trust society." And I think that's key to understanding what's going on here. The Somalis are not a low trust society amongst themselves. Okay. It's not that just it's a population replete with criminals who are stealing from everybody they can. Within their own community, they don't even lock their doors. They don't steal from each other. They don't scam each other. So understand, when they're running these billion-dollar scams, it's not like they're scamming their own people. They know exactly what they're doing. They're scamming you. They're scamming the non-Somali people. They're scamming America and Americans, and they know that, which is why they do it. They don't scam themselves. This isn't a matter of just a low-trust population coming into an area and just committing crimes against everybody. No, it's a community. It's a population, unified, cohesive, one block together conspiring to scam everybody else. I think it's important to understand. That's why I really wish I'd grabbed this video, but it wasn't just one of the video I was looking for. But then I just kept thinking about it because the guy goes, "Yeah, it's a really high, you know, high trust community. They just leave their stores open. Anybody can walk in. I can walk out with anything I want now, but it's all Somalis here. So nobody does." It's not a low trust community. It's a high trust community for each other, for them. And then they scam everybody outside that community. It's not that complicated. But it tells you what we're actually dealing with here. Which actually, this should be good news for the anti-racist people. Because isn't it always like, oh, if you talk about Somali crimes, it's because you think Somalis just are innately criminal. It's like, well, if they were just innately criminal, they would be stealing from themselves too. If it was just a matter of it naturally occurs in the Somali brain, a low propensity for self-control and a high propensity for crime, then they would be stealing from themselves. They would be stealing from each other. That must not be what it is. It's not a naturally occurring inclination to steal. It's a very deliberate desire to steal from people that aren't them. I think it's a really important point to get across. And it's not just Somalis either, but let's just, I guess we'll stick with the Somalis for now, but this spirals out because there are lots of populations like this. You want to zoom in on the Somali population? You find billion-dollar scams. You find Medicare scams, welfare scams. They all are on government housing with $100,000 cards. I mean, you find scam after scam after scam. What do you think happens if you zoom in on the Afghan community? What do you think happens if you zoom in on the illegal South American communities? What do you think happens if you zoom in on the Haiti communities? This is just, it's the spotlight is on the Somalis right now. So crimes are coming to light. Do you think it's because it's the only population doing this? And the more you like realize just how much we're being scammed, it is truly incomprehensible. Like, I think, like, my brain is not capable of maintaining all of these different, like, I can't even think about all the scams going on at once. Because it's not just the illegal immigration, which is a scam in and of itself, and then taking our jobs, and then those corporations are lobbying for the government programs that give the welfare so they can lower the pay rate that they do, and then the housing prices go up, and it's just, and then they bring in all of their family. It's just like, this is just one tiny facet on like the disco ball of this one little tiny frame on the many, many, many sided manifestation of scams in our country. And this is just like the lowest level stuff. That's not even getting into the real big scams where they're stealing $100 billion to kill Ukrainians. It's like we are just robbed relentlessly. And it's frankly a miracle we're still going at all, let alone the most powerful country in the world. It almost doesn't make any sense. I just keep getting an image of just like this elephant marching on, and it's just like 100 spears in its side. They've hit it with a cannon. They're just like 1,000-pound weights piled on top of it. They're tying up its feet, and it's just, we just keep marching on. And they're just like sucking gallons of blood out of us, and we just keep going. It's like we're so powerful, we're so strong, we're so prosperous that we can be scammed by a billion Somalis and a billion South Americans and a billion Jews and a billion Muslims, and it's just, we don't even notice. The vast majority of Americans don't even know what's going on. And it really is incredible. It really is something else. Let's go to clip number 24 here. This is Patrick Bet-David talking about just one program that's just, again, just the amount of scams that we're suffering under is just truly unbelievable. Let's watch Patrick Bet-David.
Rob, you had one of the charts that you had up a minute ago, which was phenomenal, showing who's getting entitlement benefits. Check this out. This is family receiving welfare. So purple is illegal-headed households. Red is legal immigrants. Blue is U.S.-born-headed households.
The people we want to give the welfare to.
The people you
want to
give it to. And when you look at this, cash, go with a food. Look at what food looks like. Illegal, 48%. Legal, 38%. That becomes what? That's 82%. Whatever that number is, massive percent. Percentage of it is those two. Then you have the Americans. People see numbers like this. They're like, what am I doing with my tax pay? Why am I paying taxes? To support who?
Why am I paying taxes? Because they'll kill you if you don't. Because they'll throw you in jail if you don't. No, you're being robbed at gunpoint to feed people who gleefully scam from you. In fact, Ilhan Omar was asked about this, and her answer was that it was our fault for making it too easy to scam. The Somalis just couldn't resist. They couldn't help themselves. It was our fault for making it so easy to scam us. Stupid Americans having a high trust society that has vulnerabilities because we want to take care of the less fortunate. We're so dumb. Let's go to clip number 23 here.
Can you shed any light on why the fraud got so out of control in Minnesota?
I think what happened is that, you know, when you have these kind of new programs that are designed to help people, you're oftentimes relying on third parties to be able to facilitate. And I just think that a lot of the COVID programs that were set up, they were set up so quickly that a lot of the guardrails did not get created.
Yeah, those guardrails didn't get created. So we robbed you for $1 billion. Yeah, it's your fault, really. You should have created guardrails to stop us from scamming you. You fools, how dare you do this to us? Really is incredible. During a 20-month period, the Feeding Our Future scammers billed over 125 million fake meals, claiming they were all for children, never made a meal. Clip 19 here.
The first seven defendants in this massive case are standing trial together, and their portion of the alleged scam is centered in Shakopee.
At a strip mall just off the main drag in Shakopee, where Empire Cuisine and Market used to be located, Abdiaziz Farah and Muhammad Ismail claimed to serve millions of meals to Minnesota kids in 2020 and 2021. This portion of the alleged Feeding Our Future scheme involved $30 million in federal funds for which they weren't entitled, money laundering, extravagant purchases, and the help of six other defendants, according to federal prosecutors. Like many of the anecdotes made public in the $250 million Feeding Our Future case, some of the things the defendants in this first trial are accused of doing border on absurd. Prosecutors say the defendants claim to be serving meals to kids in places that make no sense, such as this big parking lot in Shakopee, or in derelict commercial spaces like this. According to court documents, the defendants created sham meal count sheets and phony attendance rosters with children names such as Man Sincere, Ron Donald, or even John Doe, names the Shakopee School District is expected to testify don't exist in their schools. Then, what was done with the money? Prosecutors say they will trace how the defendants used the federal money to buy vehicles, real estate, a down payment on a $2.5 million home build, and a honeymoon in the Maldives. The two main defendants were also charged with passport fraud, and Ismail pleaded guilty to that. But as to the alleged meal fraud, attorneys for the defendants say they did not knowingly defraud the government.
He didn't knowingly defraud the government. Yeah. It gets confusing. It gets a little confusing because of the sheer number, the volume and scale of these scams that this one community has brought to our shores in just the time that I've been alive. What you're just hearing there was one aspect of the Feeding Our Future scam. You heard the reporter say that. This is one part of the scam. That was just part of it, these two guys. I mean, it was much bigger than that. But then you've got the COVID scamming that Ilhan Omar was blaming on us not stopping them from scamming us. Okay. But then on top of that, you've got the welfare scam. You've got like this: DHS freezes new home and community-based care license for 2 years as applications explode 283%. That's the housing, the government housing scam that they're running. And that doesn't even, include the autism scam that they ran, where every single Somali person in Minnesota claimed to have a child with autism, got money from the federal government and sent it to Al-Shabaab, the terrorist group in Somalia. It's hard to even wrap your mind around or like start to talk about this because you're talking about one scam and 15 other scams crop up. Of course Ilhan Omar knows about it. She wrote the bill that allowed it all. I'll tell you about that on the other side. Let's just get all these people out of our country.
Please remember, I can't battle the globalists without your word of mouth, your prayer, and your support. We make it easy at theolivestore.com. We have a massive 12 days of Christmas sale going right now, a huge sale going right now. We will be running a series of limited time sales. These sales could end without warning. Each product sells out. So make sure you take advantage of it, ladies and gentlemen. Add any supplement, whether it's a $20 one, you name it, any other supplement you want, absolutely free. So you can buy a $25 supplement, get a $45 supplement free. Add any supplement to your cart and get another supplement for free. TheAlexJonesStore.com, TheAlexJonesStore.com, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, you name it. So many other great new products that are in stock as well. TheAlexJonesStore.com. For just the next 5 days, there's a typo in the set, of course. It's the 12 days of Christmas sale. For the next 5 days, you can buy any supplement, get any other supplement free at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
The bat phone is ringing off the hook. The Joker is at it again.
Quick, Robin. We must analyze this threat. Do you have a location on the Joker, Robin?
Yes, he's at the abandoned warehouse on 5th Street.
I'm sick of that Newsom Joker. He's going down, Robin!
Blast you, bat brain! Must you ruin every rib-tickling riddle I concoct?
He thought he was going to get away with all of that Ultra DNA revival!
Christmas with Alex and crew. I'm cocoa and a coffee brew. All the presents under the
tree. Everyone happy and full of glee. Frosty, Santa, Rudolph, and more. Get a gift from the Alex Jones store.
Make a friend happy, smiles ear to ear. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Somalis are not terrorizing this nation. We are helping it thrive. Somalis have always seen themselves as a fabric of this nation.
As many of you know, Minnesota is drowning in fraud.
In Minnesota, a state with the largest Somali immigrant population in the United States, extensive welfare fraud schemes have siphoned billions of taxpayer dollars from federal and state programs, primarily orchestrated by members of the Somali community. The most notorious case, Feeding Our Future, involved fake nonprofits submitting bogus meal claims during the COVID-19 pandemic, defrauding over $250 million in child nutrition funds.
A brazen scheme of staggering proportions.
The largest pandemic fraud in the United States.
The subjects in this case weren't interested in feeding our future. They were interested in feeding their own gluttony.
We have new details on a jury tampering scheme at the center of a major fraud case. Federal prosecutors indicted five people for their roles in offering a juror $120,000 for a not guilty verdict in the Feeding Our Future fraud scheme. The U.S. attorney says the group targeted juror 52 because she was the youngest juror and appeared to be the only juror of color. According to court documents, they dug up information on her family online and even put a GPS tracking device on her car to track her whereabouts. During their investigation, investigators uncovered a video of one of the defendants leaving a bag of money at the juror's home.
Similar scams have targeted Medicaid's autism services, where providers inflated diagnoses among Somali children, jumping from $3 million in spending in 2018 to $399 million in 2023.
According to the charging documents, Hassan worked with others to recruit families from the Somali community, whether kids had autism or not. Prosecutors write that there was no child that Smart Therapy was not able to get qualified for autism services. Then, to drive up enrollment, they paid monthly kickbacks to families between $300 to $1,500 per child. Prosecutors say Hassan and her partners paid for it all through the millions worth of fraudulent Medicaid claims.
It didn't matter if the kids had autism. And what happened? Autism claims to Medicaid surged. In 2018, $3 million. By 2023, listen here, from $3 million to $400 million.
While housing stabilization programs created fictitious companies to build for non-existent services.
At the August trial for Abdi Fattah Youssef, the jury heard evidence that he ran his home health care company, Promise Health, out of a mailbox at a Central Avenue address where multiple other home healthcare companies were supposedly located. Youssef and his wife, Lowell Ahmed, were charged with stealing $7.2 million of taxpayer money through Medicaid overbilling in a personal care assistant or PCA scam. Despite the jury swiftly convicting Youssef, Judge Sarah West last week decided they got it wrong. Judge West ruled that the state's case relied heavily on circumstantial evidence. Jurors in the case can't believe the decision.
I am shocked. I'm shocked based off of all of the evidence that was presented to us and the obvious guilt that we saw based off of the said evidence. It was not a difficult decision whatsoever.
Federal prosecutors, led by acting U.S. Attorney Joe Thompson, have issued 77 indictments in the Feeding Our Future case alone, with additional charges in autism and welfare fraud totaling at least 28 scandals since 2019, amounting to an estimated $1 billion in losses. These frauds extend beyond mere theft, with investigations revealing that millions of the stolen funds were funneled back to Somalia through informal Hawala networks, ultimately supporting the Al-Qaeda-linked terrorist group Al-Shabaab. Some defendants in the Feeding Our Future case donated to prominent Democrats, including Attorney General Keith Ellison, and lobbied figures like Representative Ilhan Omar and former Senator Omar Fateh, who advocated for the programs.
And I want to thank also Amy and her team.
Feeding Our Future, for making this first court victory a reality.
Things are heating up as President Trump terminated temporary protected status for Somalis in Minnesota on November 22nd, 2025, labeling the state a hub of fraudulent money laundering. Under Waltz's watch, John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
We have a new product in at theellisshowstore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force. Well, we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity with no letdown and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, at TheAlexShowStore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this and then looking at how they're organically derived and how each ingredient itself is a game changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at TheAlexShowStore.com.
Now, back to our program.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. In studio with me is Joel Webbin. He is Pastor Joel Webbin. He's the president and founder of Right Response Ministries and the senior pastor of Covenant Bible Church located on the north side of Austin, Texas. You can follow him on X at Right Response M, on YouTube at Right Response Ministries, and go to rightresponseministries.com to find their website.
You got all that right. That was amazing.
Excellent. On my first try, too. Well, welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me, Harrison. Appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, and I've been trying to get you on forever. It's my fault. Things kept falling through, but you're here now, and it's great to have you. And you make a lot of people mad on X.
A little bit.
Than I think you deserve, I have to say. It's like, because I see people get mad at you, and I'm like, why? What is it about you that makes people so angry? You seem very reasonable.
Thank you. I like to think that I'm just, you know, you're friendly, moderate, centrist, reasonable, understandable, you know, kind of guy. But I think I make people mad because of the way that I say things, and I've built a little bit of a reputation at this point. But now, even if I say things carefully, they're like, but he said it, so I'm supposed to be mad. But one of my greatest concerns is when I think about it, it's like, people get mad at me because they're like, he's an anti-Semite. And I'm like, yeah, but like, I've got other great qualities too. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm also a homophobe, you know, and I'm I'm a sexist, you know, like there's plenty of other great qualities to cherish and appreciate, you know, so, but to answer the question, I'm, you know, being facetious, but, in all honesty, I think it's because kind of running the gambit, so to speak, you know, it's not just one trick pony, you know, like the Jews, you know, whatever, but talking about Israel, talking about, those kinds of things, but then also talking about feminism, you know, and then also talking about, race actually being real and not hating anybody, but recognizing, okay, we're not all the same. God created us in distinct ways and those things should be acknowledged. So I've got like at least three categories right there for people to get mad.
Yeah, absolutely. No matter how carefully you try to say it, it's the ideas themselves that are offensive, I think.
Correct.
Yeah, because I agree. It's like, I mean, part of it is I think just the vast majority of the population is stuck in this mindset that people like myself, I can't even imagine. Like the idea that they say race is a social construct. It's like, right. What is that even supposed to mean? It's so baffling and crazy. But then if you disagree with it, you're a racist white supremacist that wants to kill everybody that's not, you know, white as the driven snow. And it's like, no. It's just, can you not tell that people have different appearances or character or, and it right. doesn't mean that everybody is a certain way, but it's hard to even entertain or interact with a mindset so utterly disconnected with reality.
Absolutely. And I think part of it is because we've lost the ability to speak or even think in categories, but also in generalities, right? So like, you know, the classic meme, and it tends to be, well, this will get me in trouble with, you know, against feminism. But part of the problem with the current discourse is that we've invited women into it.
Mm.
Seriously. So this is one of the things that people were mad at me, this week about, or maybe it was last week. No, it was this week. I went viral. Somebody clipped me out. It's usually not me. I do a show. It gets, you know, some views, but then somebody will clip something out and it'll get a lot more views, which you're probably quite familiar
with
this
business
with
model,
this concept.
Yeah.
you know, but it's usually not me. It's usually not like, hey, this was a banger, you know, this
right.
one, you know, 90 second clip. It's usually somebody else takes it. And sometimes it's somebody who hates me and they're like, this is bad. And I know it's bad and people are going to hate Joel for it. And so they, you know, they make it go viral. And sometimes it's like guys, you know, God bless them, who are great guys who I appreciate. Some of them I even know personally. And they're like, this was my favorite part. And I'm like,
you're about to get me in trouble.
You're going to get me in big, big trouble. And so anyway, so the thing that was going, we were talking, me and my co-host, Wesley Todd, we were talking about, men and women and the need to marry young. But particularly for women to marry young, right? Like, I think, you know, the scripture talks about, you know, I'm a pastor and so the scripture is a big part of my life, but, the scripture talks about a man rejoicing in the wife of his youth, meaning that he married her young. And so I do think that there is, as far as it depends on us, there is a biblical impetus for men, not just women, but men to marry young. That said, I didn't ruin the entire economy in the entire country and make it where it's impossible for a man to actually provide for a family on a single income, where he can't reasonably afford a home in his 50-year mortgage until he's like in his 40s. Right. And even then it's still questionable. So I didn't do that, but that's the world that we currently live in. And so I do think that there is something to be said for allowing for a man to, you know, get his ducks in a row. And so I think there is something with, you know, men maturing emotionally, spiritually, you know, these kinds of things a little bit slower than women. So there's a maturity factor. But then economically being able to provide and protect, for a household, because of the way that we've structured our economy and our society, that now takes longer than ever. So I was just making a simple point and saying that, men, if you can, yeah, man, get married at 22 and have kids and rejoice in the wife of your youth. But don't do it in such a way that, you know, you know that you're going to, get married and have kids at 22 and they're going to starve to death.
Right.
So there are, because of the mess that we've made, there are plenty of reasons why a man might need to get married a little bit later in life. But for a woman, that doesn't apply. And so I made this point of talking about, you know, the things that a man brings to the table, you know, valuable assets, so to speak, not that they're the most valuable in the world, that the most valuable would be love for Jesus, character, virtue. But in a practical, temporal sense, a man is bringing leadership to the table. He's called to love his wife. Ephesians talks about this. So love for his wife, and that love, primarily going through two avenues, practically speaking, of protection and provision in the way that Christ provides and protects the church and loved her sacrificially, the church, willing to lay down his life, for her. And then the wife, you know, it's this mutual love. She needs to love him too. Well, that would be nice, but that's not actually the language the Bible uses. He loves. That doesn't mean she can't love or that she shouldn't love, but the word particularly that's chosen for her is the word submission. And so I was talking about, for a woman, she's bringing, right, for him to carry his name and building legacy, ultimately not about his pride, but for the glory of God, posterity, right? Psalm 127, blessed is the man whose quiver is filled with children. Children are heritage from the Lord. So fertility. Beauty, which the Bible clearly says, physical beauty, right? Charm is deceitful. Beauty is fading, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So physical beauty gives way over time. That's just the way life works. A woman can, you know, she can demand that she is just as beautiful at 45 as 25, but she's wrong. She's wrong. And you don't have to be mean about it, but women should be aware you are not as attractive at 45 as you were at 25. That's just not the way reality works. But a godly woman, that physical beauty, it fades, but it gives way to greater and greater inner beauty. So 1 Peter 3 talks about this, the inner person of the heart. But that inner beauty, even then, the Bible uses specific words. It's not just romance and erotic. And no, it says that the inner person of the heart, imperishable inner beauty, is a gentle and quiet spirit. Mm. Today we have all these three-piece suit, boss babe, you know, women who are even the conservative ones are in the arena on the public square and they're yelling at men and being, you know, using mocking, sarcastic and all this. And they want to say, well, you do that sometimes. It's like, correct. I'm a man.
Right.
That's a double standard. Correct. Correct. Yeah. God called men and designed them for one thing, called women designed, like, honestly, having conservative women and throwing them in the arena to debate and use sarcasm and mockery and raise their voice with men. It's to call them conservative. It's an oxymoron. It's an oxymoron. So anyways, so I went, you know, viral for this because I said, you know, the things that a woman brings, and I wasn't saying these are eternal or ultimate, right? Her heart for the Lord would be ultimate. But I was saying, in terms of, the temporal and just practical, blatantly obvious assets that make her an eligible bachelorette for marriage would all kind of have a short lifespan. Mm. Fertility, physical beauty, and submission. And it's not saying that a woman can't continue to be respectful and have a gentle and quiet spirit as she ages, but a single woman who's, let's say she left the house, and I'm not saying that women should do this, but they do typically in our culture. If she leaves her father's headship at 18, gets married at 35, then you're looking at, you know, 17 years, if my math is right, of her being her own leader, independent, Miss Independent, you know, like pulling herself up by her bootstraps and probably building a lot of non-submissive, non-gentle, non-feminine attributes. And so I just was saying that. I was saying, a woman, it behooves her, therefore, she is probably kind of at her peak value and most eligible as a bachelorette, when she's in her early 20s and a little less when she's in her early 30s and a lot less when she's in her early 40s. And the internet lost its mind. And that's just this week, you know.
Right,
you know?
Right. So that's like, just the latest thing.
Lost America. But here's the thing. It wasn't like all these people, you know, just screaming leftists and progressives, you know, who hate God, hate Christ. No, it was Christian women of both sexes.
Right.
You know, but Christian women, who purport to be conservative, losing their ever loving mind. So why do I make people angry? Because I hold all the normative views that Christians and even non-Christians in America held approximately even just 80 years ago.
Right. Or I'd say even less. And, you know, there's so many things, about what you just said. Cause I also wonder if the Bible isn't admonishing men and women, specifically on what it's difficult for men and women to do, right? It's difficult for women, right, to be submissive, so that's what you admonish them to be. Right, they don't have to be told to be loving, because women typically, especially around...
They're much more nurturing, of course.
Much more nurturing. And that is a special thing that you want to preserve. And I think that gets lost in translation a lot, because, like, the idea of a feminine woman is like a civilizational accomplishment.
Yes.
You know, women in the bush are not feminine. They're masculine. They're hunting. They're having to, you know, fight for their food or whatever. It's like, no, we want women elevated out of that, where they can actually embody those feminine, more gentle and nurturing, ideas.
That's a great point.
Which is the goal for us to elevate to, but you have to have the understanding that that is an inappropriate mindset to take into the governmental sphere, take into the sphere of war. You don't want the gentle, nurturing mindset when it comes time for hardcore decisions.
Right.
And
that's where we are right now. Think about, like, all these judges that keep releasing, you know, career criminals. What an oxymoron, right?
What does that even mean?
A career criminal. That's insane.
I was going off about the term a homeless career criminal yesterday. Right. It's like, what is that? Why does that exist?
A
that
career exist. Criminal, believe it or not, I didn't think it was possible, but that makes less sense than even a career podcaster.
Oh,
you know, like, just to be fair, you know, to hit ourselves a little bit as well. But, like, I mean, there are some things you should not be able to have a career in, and career criminal is one of them. But who are the judges that continue to release them? Some of them are dudes, but disproportionately, like alarmingly so, it's female judges. Why? Because a female judge looks at this guy who just did terrible things. I don't know what words we're allowed to use, but did terrible, you know, things to a woman, and he's an Asian guy. He's Pakistani.
Right.
What kind of Asians? You know, he's a Muslim, and he just did terrible things to an American woman. And he's got a female judge now. He's already been arrested, you know, 14 times, and her kind of innate thought is, if only he had had a good mom.
Right.
And that's, like, I'm not even saying she's wrong. That's actually a good thought in its proper place, but its proper place is not behind the bench in a court of law. Instead, that's a feminine thought. And feminine thoughts are great in their context. But in that context, law, criminals, you need a masculine thought. The masculine thought is short rope, tall tree.
Mm. Yeah. No, literally. And that's, and to me, it's about a lack of humility and understanding that, where it's like, you would think, and I've met women that are like this, that are like, you know, if it was, I was talking to a friend, they're like, I was talking about homeless people outside of my house. So this was 20 years ago, maybe, or something. And the girl was like, you know, I'd probably give them sandwiches, which is why I shouldn't be involved. You know, it's like, you have to understand, you have to go, I'm a very nurturing and caring person,
which is why awesome.
I need to be excused right. from these decisions right. because I understand that that's not the right mindset to take here. And I think it's a lack of humility in a lot of cases, or it's that just misplaced instinct, which again is the instinct is a good thing. You are literally programmed to take care of children. That is,
right.
that is what women are programmed to do, and men are not programmed to do that. And I see it in myself. I see it with my friends who have young kids. It's like, for me, when my kid does something wrong, like a switch flips in my head where I'm like angry and I'm like, you have to take over now because I'm going to be really mad. And I even know I shouldn't be that mad, but I don't have that internal patience that I ascribe to, you know, that my wife has because of her, you know, feminine aspect.
Yeah. So the domestic feminine role, a lady of the hearth, you know, would be some of the old language. But notice, like, the lady of the hearth is, the hearth is domestic. It's in the home. The hearth is not in the public square. That's not the hearth that's being spoken of. Her role is, and her whole orientation is homeward. She is concerned about her husband, concerned about her children, whereas the man is looking at the horizon. He's looking outward. He's thinking about the mission, you know, like, so he's oriented outward, like, what hill can I take? You know, what dragon can I slay? How can I provide? Whereas, you know, the man builds a house, the woman makes it a home. This is how Western society functioned for a very, very long time. And now we don't. And so I think part of the reason that politics is hard and cultural commentary and all these things are hard is because, half of the people who are a part of it, this public conversation, really need to bake a pie. That was another thing I went viral for.
They need
to be making a pie, you know? Yeah.
Get your emotions out through the pie. It's actually the most healthy way to do it. But you know, the reason it's important for you to talk like this and to explain this is because of the countervailing message that the vast majority of people are receiving on a continual basis right. from entertainment and education. It's not even necessarily saying that this is the way that every woman needs to be. There are obviously going to be women that don't fit in a certain mold, or there are going to be women that are extremely capable of running a corporation. Like they're out there. It exists. But they're extremely rare, and it's not the message that you want women as a whole, as a population in your country, to be pursuing because it's incongruous but with their,
you're
their
right.
nature.
And that, sadly, that's what we've done across the board, not just with women. We could apply this to every single category. What we have done in a nutshell is we have made the exception the norm, and we've made the norm the exception. We've taken the footnote and made it the headline and made the headline the footnote. And so, yes, there are rare exceptions. With women in terms of innate giftings and those kinds of things. For instance, one would be like, you know, biblically speaking, Proverbs 31, right? This woman is, she's sharp, right? And she's capable of a lot more than just making pies. You know, but people, even that, they take license with the biblical text and they're like, well, she, you know, she's an investor. She purchases a field. And it's like, and again, like the duck meme is like, whose money did she use to purchase her husband's?
Mm.
So she's a manager of the home, and she's managing more than just, you know, making breakfast. She's managing a lot. There are servants in this case, that upsets people. They're slaves. You know, I think a biblically permissible form of slavery, but she has the children. She also has servants who are working as a part of the household, and she's overseeing all this as a manager, but the husband still stands above her as the owner, and he's in the city gates. He's influencing the whole village, and he's leading, and you know, in a capacity public facing. So she may be purchasing a field, right? And yeah, you can get cute with that. So she's a real estate tycoon, you know, like that's probably a little bit of exaggeration, but yes, there is a high degree of competency, no doubt. But in that, it's still, she's managing his estate. Even when you look at the 10th commandment in Exodus chapter 20, do not covet. It's funny that this upsets people, but it's all in the masculine vernacular. You shall not covet his wife or his, you know, his son, his daughter, his house, his male servant, his female servant, his livestock, his ox or his donkey, but it's all his. And so, yes, there are women who are exceedingly gifted. But even in those instances, to make them completely independent, I don't think has served society well at all. But that's just the female
and
male
that's,
thing.
And that's sort of the key thing. Again, I think people take this on an individual level and they feel personally insulted if they don't fit in the mold that you're describing. But the problem is that our society itself is so out of whack that women are sort of forced to take on these roles out of necessity. As you were talking about, the used to be one father would have a job and the mom could manage the business. That's just not reality anymore. We want to get back to that point. But we're so askew, and a lot of what I the way I'm interpreting what you're saying, at least, is this sort of generalized, this is the ideal, this is what we want to pursue, this is how we want to design our society to uphold these types of relationships, these types of individuals or whatever. And but then people take it individually and they go, well, I'm a woman who's you know, powerful, so you think I shouldn't exist, you think I didn't make it myself. And it's like, we're talking about the ideal, how family should be, how, because look, running a home, it should literally be a full-time job, and it is, and it's why so many people are miserable. It's why so many marriages fail, because, you know, the husband's coming home and having to do the dishes on top of doing the work. It's, we're just out of whack. We're not fit for our function anymore, and it's because the function's wrong, not us. And, you know, I was thinking of there's a book by Arthur Conan Doyle called The White Company in medieval times, and he has these great scene where he has a king leading an army on the battlefield, and then the next chapter is his wife preparing the like feast at home, and she's deploying her troops,
right?
Ordering how how things are delivered, and the lines must be maintained, and this was written hundreds of years ago, but it was reflective of what you're saying, where it's like, no, these are the two different roles. They can be similar kind of, but they have different places, and that's how our society
was made.
There's
a lot of similar qualities of like intellect, competency, you know, organization, all strategy. But in two separate realms.
Exactly.
In two separate realms. But it's what you're saying, I agree with. And it's back to that exception, replacing the norm and vice versa. Have you seen, like, it's become a stereotype at this point, and because it proves to be true most of the time. But people say, you know, the average woman is 5'4".
And then, I'm taller than that.
And a woman responds, but I'm 5'7", you know, or whatever. And it's like, yeah, the average woman is, but that's all we ever, you know, like somebody, you know, the big hullabaloo, at least in my ex feed the last couple of days, has been, related to that clip that went semi-viral in fertility. And it's like, well, I had three children, from age 38 to 45. It's like, okay. But can you see how ordinarily, on average, that usually doesn't happen?
Right. Not ideal, even if it does. It's not ideal. If you're 40 years old, it's considered a geriatric pregnancy by medical science. Like, it's not an opinion. It's literally less safe to get pregnant that late.
So, one, you're less fertile and you just might not get pregnant.
Right.
Number two, even if you do, much higher statistical likelihood of miscarriages or defects or certain ideal.
I mean, even once the kid is born, I mean, I had my first kid at I guess it would have been 31, and even then I'm like, man, I wish I'd had him 10 years earlier, because he's got a lot of energy. And even in my mid 30s, I'm like slowing down to the point where I'm like, man, if I was 10 years younger, I'd be able to keep up with this kid a lot more. I mean, and then you do that generation after generation, and these negative consequences compound, obviously. We're about to go to a commercial break, and we haven't even gotten into the Jews. This is ridiculous.
Well, real quick, can I say, I know we got to go to a commercial break, but I'm so glad you brought that up, because this is my concern that I started at the top of the segment, is I'm concerned people are going to walk away and they're only going to hate me for being sexist.
Right.
There's so much more to hate. So we got so much more to get into,
and we're going to hit it all. We have another segment with Joel Webb, and of course you can follow him on X at Right Response M. I also want to remind you folks, it's BOGO Supps. You BOGO Supps?
I don't even know what that is.
Nobody does. We just made it up. Right. It's buy one, get one free supplements on thealexjonesstore.com. Go there today. Support us. Keep us on the air and having these incredible conversations. We'll be right back.
Nicotinamide. Now that's a $1,000 word. But what it is the raw precursor of NAD. Now, NAD energizes the entire body, cleans out the cells. It's amazing. But most people cannot absorb raw NAD. That's why you need the precursor, which this product has from organic form, but it has so much more. Ladies and gentlemen, we are so excited to announce this new product, DNA Revival. This doesn't just have the precursor to NAD in it. It's got all the other organic compounds known to clean out your cells, give you incredible energy with no letdown, and supercharge your overall health. Right now, you get this product out of the gates, massively discounted at thealexshowstore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, all the products are incredible. They all work synergistically together. But I've got to tell you, Ultra DNA Revival is a game changer for everyone. Young people, works great for them. But particularly middle-aged and older folks will really feel the difference. Now, things like our ultramethylene blue hits in 15 to 20, 30 minutes. Okay? Our CMOS takes a week or so to build up. So does the bovine colostrum. Same thing with this. A week to 2 weeks, but within a month, 90%+ of people report incredible changes on every front. You need to go out and do your own research into NAD. You do your own research into all the ingredients that are in this product. And then realize, this is the private label of a nationwide bestseller that has the top reviews in the country. Most of the products at theauctionstore.com, we didn't invent. We go out. What has the highest ratings? What's the most tested? What has the best reviews? They let us private label it, and we sell it to you. That way you get a great product at a competitive price, and you keep the show on the air. So take advantage of this new product right now, Ultra DNA Revival, at thealexshowstore.com, and know that it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide. But if you don't get DNA Revival, you're really missing out. You owe it to yourself, your family, and to your overall health to try this product. You can't lose. It funds the operation, and we know it really works. Here's some of the known effects this compound delivers. Noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes. Faster recovery and greater endurance. Sharper focus and mental clarity. Support for healthy blood sugar levels already in the normal range. Stronger immune function. Enhanced liver health and natural detoxification. Reduced everyday stress, anxiety, and protection against oxidative stress and the visible signs of aging. And it just gets better from there. Ultra DNA Revival is the newest addition to thealexshowstore.com, and we're extremely excited about it. If I could get a racehorse that had just won the Triple Crown and run it the next few races, I'd do it. It's that simple. And that's what I've done. If I could get Tom Brady at his peak to be my quarterback, I would. Well, that's how private labeling works. We go out to the top firms, the highest ratings, the best customer reviews, and we simply say, can we private label it? And in every case, they say, yeah, we can private label it. So it's not like we're reinventing the wheel. Whatever is the hottest, best reviews that people love, we go out and we get it. So when you get it, you love it. Well, that's what Ultra DNA Revival is all about. It's a private label, a best-selling brand that is simply amazing. You can empower your body, your immune system, your health, your clarity, your libido, your focus, and literally clean out your cells while at the same time funding this operation in the face of the globalists. That, my friends, is a 360 win at thealexshowstore.com.
The bat phone is ringing off the hook. The Joker is at it again.
Quick, Robin. We must analyze this threat. Do you have a location on the Joker, Robin?
Yes, he's at the abandoned warehouse on 5th Street.
I'm sick of that Newsom Joker. He's going down, Robin!
Blast you, Bat Brain! Must you ruin every rib-tickling riddle I concoct?
He thought he was going to get away with all of that Ultra DNA Revival!
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if this is quite the appropriate mood for the music. It's so relaxing. We're trying to get fired up here. We're fighting a war for humanity's existence on all fronts. I'm here in studio with Joel Webbin, Pastor Joel Webbin, I should say. He's the president and founder of Right Response Ministries and the senior pastor of Covenant Church, a Bible church located in the north side of Austin, Texas. You can follow him on X at Right Response M or on YouTube at Right Response Ministries, and rightresponseministries.com is the website. And we've been talking a lot about just the relationship between men and women, and I, it's interesting that you're so involved, because I see you all the time, and, you know, we start off this by saying, you know, a lot of times it's people not very happy with what you're saying.
Yeah.
But you're everywhere on X, in the political sphere, but you're not a political guy necessarily.
Not really.
I don't see political takes from you. You're a pastor, right? Yeah. I mean, so how did you find yourself in this milieu here?
Yeah, well, I guess the easiest way to say it is, what got me here was honestly, wanting to be a good pastor and a big part of it. It's not all of it. There's other things involved, but a big part of that being a good preacher and, you know, wanting to be a faithful preacher. And the simplest, most concise way I could say it is I basically came to the conviction that there are three main components of faithful Christian preaching and what I'd like to see America's churches embody from their ministers on the Lord's Day, on Sunday. And so the three components of a faithful sermon would be revelation, interpretation, application. Revelation, not I have a dream, you know, not a guy standing in the pulpit, I've got, you know, a 17-step plan. No, I have a text. The revelation is the revelation of God. So the Bible. Right. So I actually have a text. It's not just topical. It's not just the latest idea, but it's, no, today open your Bibles to this book, to this chapter, to this verse, and you're actually reading a revelation from God. So revelation. Second, interpretation. What is the meaning of that text? And most importantly, not what does it mean to me, but what does God mean by it? So a faithful exegesis of the text, not just eisegesis, reading in your own thoughts and preferences and opinions, but exegesis. Here's the text, revelation. Here's the interpretation, reading out of it. This is God's meaning. But the last part is where, I mean, the first two we're missing in a lot of churches too, but the last part, the third part especially, is missing in the American church, which is revelation, interpretation, application. How then shall we live? Right? If this is a revelation from God and not merely man, it's the word of God, living, breathing, active. And this is actually the interpretation of what God means by this and what the church traditionally has held for 2000 years of, this is, you know, church history and tradition and the saints, you know, co-discerning over the centuries, the meaning of the text. Okay. Well, then what is the application then? How should we live? And this is what got me. As I thought about that more, I realized, okay, there may only be one true interpretation of what God means. And obviously Protestants and Catholics, we all disagree on various things, but I think we would admit we're not relativists. Somebody's right. Somebody's wrong. You know, you could both be wrong, but you both can't be right. Well, that's in the realm of interpretation, the meaning. What does God mean? But in the realm of application, you can actually, it's not just one faithful application. There are virtually limitless applications of any given text in the scripture that are not at odds with one another. They're not contradicting one another. In light of this text, in light of the meaning of this text, here's the application as a father, as a husband, in business, in this realm, in that realm. And, but then as I thought, started thinking about it more, I was like, is there, a faithful Christian application of the Bible in the realm of politics? And I feel like what Christians have done over recent decades is we've just surrendered, the civil realm, the state government, all these things to, we've just kind of assumed that realm was neutral.
We've abdicated.
Yeah.
Our position. Yeah. Right. Absolutely. It's probably my biggest frustration with the American church right now is their willful abandonment of the ramparts in that regard.
Yes.
And I told this story many times, but at one point in 2020, I think it was, my dad was talking to the preacher in his church in Houston and is going, you know, there's all these Democrats running around. They're going to let out all these criminals. This was when, you know, the bail reform was the big thing. And he's like, you know, maybe instead of hearing about a letter to the Corinthians from 2000 years ago for the 100th time, maybe you can relate that to what's going on here and right now and tell people about like the consequences of immoral behavior. And I can't remember exactly how he phrased it, but it was basically just something like, that's not our role. That's not our position. We aren't supposed to talk about what's happening right now. And it's like, then why are you even talking about it? Like, yeah, it's, you know, you're supposed to take those messages to the churches 2000 years ago and then apply them to yourself today. And the church is such a powerful force in America. It seems like the only place it's ever utilized politically is in support of Israel, which is like so off the mark in so many, like
the, so many ways. No, I love what you just said though, like that little part right there when you said, can you take that, our letter written 2000 years ago to a church on the other side of the world, Corinth, but relate that? Cause that's the ticket is no, the Bible is living and breathing. So you actually do need that letter 2000 years ago written to the Corinthians church. You will never not need it. It's right. The word of God. You do need it. But you need it applied.
Right.
So you don't need a new revelation, right? It's the same revelation. It's the same old book. Give me that old time religion.
Right.
It's like, give me the Bible. I want Bible. So the revelation remains the same, but it's and the interpretation remains the same, but the application will vary. and shift over time, given this place, this time, this culture, this people. If I was preaching, you know, if I was preaching Uganda, I would apply the scripture differently.
Right.
In that context. But right now we're preaching in America. When I look at, you know, big headline things that are going on economically, politically, all those kinds of things, that's what got me into politics. And I'm not an expert by any stretch of the imagination, but I just realized it wasn't like, oh, well, I'm tired of being a pastor. I want to be a political pundit instead. No, it was like, if I'm going to actually be a faithful pastor, I think I've got to at least have a basic working understanding of the political realm so that I can, because I have people in my church who are in politics.
Right.
So how am I going to, now that's not, you can take that too far and all of a sudden say, well, the pastor is an expert in everything. He's not. And some pastors think they are. So there's some pastors who are abdicating. They're saying, well, you know, politics, that's a neutral realm. You know, it's like Mufasa with Simba, you know, standing on a pride rock. It's like, what's that dark shadowy place over there? You know,
that's politics.
We must never go there. Everything the light touches, you know, which is just another marriage conference, and that's the only thing that the Bible ever speaks to. But that's not true. So pastors should be willing to apply the scripture to every realm of human life. At the same time, though, they don't need to pretend expertise in right. every single area. It's like the old commercial. It's like, the guy shows up, as like a neurosurgeon. It's like, where's the doctor? And he shows up and he's like, who are you? You're not the doctor. And he's like, I'm ready for this, perform, brain surgery. And it's like, do you have credentials? Are you even PhD'd? He's like, no, but I did stay in a Holiday Inn last night.
You know? Right.
And a lot of pastors act like that too. It's like, well, but I am a pastor. And therefore, I'm you know, an expert on geopolitics and this. So I think there's two ditches to avoid. One, the pastor who wants his hand in everything and pretends to be an expert, and he's not. But on mass scale, I think maybe that's 10% of the problem. 90% of pastors in America are on the other side, in the other ditch, on the other side of the road, which is they've abdicated all involvement in every single realm except for the church and maybe the family.
Yeah.
That's it.
And even that is kind of tenuous. I mean, I guess it depends on which church you go to, but you know, a lot of pastors will refuse to condemn any sort of family form or now, which is absurd because you can't have two men and a woman all being a part of the same marriage, obviously, but you know, churches are going along with that. And I can't tell you how many churches I've seen with the rainbow flags, especially here in Austin. It's kind of sickening actually, which is why, I mean, that's got to be why the Orthodox Church is having such a revival right now.
Oh,
I know
for sure.
The Catholic Church is even doing a little bit better because the American churches, the Protestant churches,
right.
cannot help themselves. They will change with the times, and that's not what people are looking for. They're looking for that old-time religion.
They are.
What is the point of it if you're not going back to then? Can you talk a little bit more about that phenomenon? I know the New York Times has just written a piece.
It's true.
And now the knives are coming out, right? Now it's, oh, Orthodox is growing. That's dangerous, and we need to stop it.
Right. So Eastern Orthodoxy. I want to be careful for two reasons. One, because I do want to be as charitable as possible. I really do. Because I'd much rather people be Eastern Orthodox than, you know, Muslim,
right.
you know, Jewish religiously practicing, Hindu, you know, whatever, atheist. So I do want to be appreciative. At the same time, I have my convictions and I can't compromise. I need to stand by them. I think the rise of Eastern Orthodoxy in particular, because it's, you know, similar to Catholicism in the sense that, you know, both claim, you know, like we're the one true church and we're really, really old and, you know, all those kinds of things. But there are some differences, and not just the theological differences, but kind of the vibe.
Mm-hmm.
EO is more, I would argue, is more of an emphasis, masculine emphasis mm-hmm. than Catholicism. I mean, you look at some of these, Eastern Orthodox priests and they're like barrel chested. They have, you know, beards. Yeah. Beard down to their belt. They're not limp wristed. They're not effeminate. They're not soft. They're men. And so I think that's a big part of the appeal right now is because in the West, America, but also European nations in the West, there is just a desperate, desperate need for masculinity because we've basically banned masculinity.
It's been deliberately eradicated from our public culture. Yeah.
So that's a big part of it. I think the masculinity. But you know, at the same time, one of my friends, he's a Catholic and, good guy, Timothy Gordon. And he said, you know, when he thinks of EO, he's Catholic. He says it's kind of like, he calls it the Mr. Miyagi complex.
Okay.
Eastern Orthodoxy. So Mr. Miyagi, you think the Karate Kid, and it's, you know, you got this little white kid, you know, American boy, and dad is kind of absent. He's missing a father figure. But there's, you know, thanks to globalism, even way back then when the first Karate Kid came out, you got an older Asian man.
Yeah.
It's in America.
It's got a sort of esoteric feeling to it.
And this Asian guy he's willing to play the father role, right? Wax on, wax off, you know? And so he's like, he's coming in and he's kind of filling that father void, hunger that's there. And you look at America today and anything that, you know, all that was true at the time of the first Karate Kid being made is just exponentially more true today in the year of our Lord 2025. So yeah, you've got a lot of young white boys, some of them. And I don't mean that in the degrading way, like calling a 25-year-old guy a boy. I mean, actual boys, like they're 12, they're 13, they're 14. And then, you know, young white men, 20, 25. And in either case, they're like, yeah, I either didn't have a dad, you know, or he was literally absent or emotionally absent, or even if he was there, he was soft, he was feminine. And then they see there's this old tried religion, Eastern Orthodoxy, and all the leaders are like dudes.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're dudes.
Yeah. There's
the Mr. Miyagi kind of thing. You know,
yeah. Like, absolutely.
And it's Eastern and it's mystical and there's a wonder.
If it feels more full than, and again, you just, you know, not to rag on an American tribe. I mean, I'm Anglican, so I'm not, you know, I'm not even I'm not Eastern Orthodox, but it's like you go into some of these American churches and it's just, it's guitar and it's just like, now where's the incense? Where's the crazy robes? There's something to that strikes you. And even as a, you know, I remember going to a wedding with my son when he was like 1 year old, and when they walk in, it was a very Christian wedding, and it was Episcopalian actually, but they had the robes and everything. When they walk in holding the cross, and my son's just like, what is this? What is happening? Like something about the ceremony and the sort of,
the pomp, the seriousness and circumstance.
Taken,
but no, there really is something,
matters, man.
You look at the scripture and there's certainly something to be said for types and shadows, the symbols that speak to a higher truth. Now, the danger in that, I'm a Protestant, you know, so sue me, I'm a Protestant, so here it comes. You know, but there is a danger in where all of a sudden the form and the shadow, begin to be, or at least the temptation flirting with, that becoming the object of your worship rather than serving as a physical sign that's pointing you towards the higher substance, the higher reality. And so, you know, I'll sometimes tease, you know, I'm going to do it. Here's the other thing about Eastern Orthodoxy. You think me and you are online? Those dudes are terminally online.
I mean, there are a lot of terminally online.
Dude, online.
But you know
like
what?
You've never seen.
You know, the interdenominational stuff can get pretty contentious. We want to avoid
I'm going to be kind.
Well, maybe we should move on to something. Maybe let's talk about Jews and Christianity. Maybe that's a little.
That's true.
That's less contentious, right?
All I was going to say with the Eastern Orthodox thing is I was going to say that there is kind of, it is Eastern. So right now it's growing. It's growing leaps and bounds. But still, if you look on the whole, America historically is a Protestant nation.
I agree.
Right now, currently, Catholicism is growing significantly and rivaling Protestantism in America. I don't, and I'm not saying this in a mean-spirited way, but I don't think that Eastern Orthodoxy will ever win out in a Western context precisely because it's Eastern.
Well, I grew up Anglican, so it's just my tradition, and I'm the same way. It's like, no, this is a Protestant country. You cannot like that. You can want it to be a Catholic or Eastern Orthodox, but it's just not. So, you know, it's just, our culture is born from Protestantism, so there is a disconnect there when you talk about Eastern Orthodoxy or Catholicism.
That's all I was gonna say. So.
No, I know. I was just joking, because we don't have too much time left.
The sportscaster, the Bulls, the Bears, so now it's like, the Jews.
We're getting into the Jews here. No, but there is this weird, now it's unavoidable, there's the political and the religious colliding here with Israel and the state of Israel and the Jewish diaspora, and it makes everything confusing and difficult to discuss and difficult to even like wrap your hand around trying to figure out what's motivating people. And obviously this is a large part of your coverage. You just came out with a video. Can you tell us about the video that you just published earlier today?
Yeah. So it was something that I wrote like a while back trying to explain my position, because everyone was like, you're an anti-Semite. And so I was like, no. You know, like, let me clarify. And I wrote it, and then everyone was like, That's worse. You are for sure an anti-Semite. And I was like, well, I mean, I would not self-describe as an anti-Semite. I don't think I'm anti-Semitic. I don't hate all Jews. And I don't want to harm them or hurt them or anything like that. But, you know, it depends who you're asking. If you're asking the ADL or sadly the ADL or your typical Protestant Zionist pastor.
Right.
Who honestly probably could get a job with the ADL.
Yeah.
Then sure, by their standard, I'm an anti-Semite. So I did it a couple of months ago, but I decided, you know what, I should actually record this. It was just in writing. And so I should record. So I did that this morning. And what I was trying to help people see is, and I think this is part of what Nick Fuentes gets at. So in his interview with Tucker Carlson, you know, you know, pretty much everybody in the world watched.
Yeah.
You know, when I looked at it, it was like 5.9 million views. And I was like, That's a Tucker cost denial. Right? Yeah. 5.9 million. No, it has to be at least
6 million.
It's at least 6 million views. That interview
ridiculous
got
ridiculous as otherwise.
I know it's bigoted. And, you know, so anyways, but you know, everybody watched it. And so, one of the things that Nick was trying to get at for a moment, and I feel like Tucker kind of missed, cause Tucker was like, you know, he was giving his bona fides and, you know, and kind of, and I like Tucker Carlson. So I'm not against, you know, I'm not saying Tucker's bad. But Tucker was kind of, you know, giving the disclaimers of like, I don't hate Jewish people. And one of the disclaimers he gave is he's like, it's not blood guilt. I believe, you know, individualism and blah, blah, which is kind of makes sense with Tucker's, you know, his generation and, you know, being American, being a little bit older. And I think this is the theological category, blur, error. So, and if we're talking about true moral culpability, guilt, God's justice, eternal justice, everybody's going to stand before God on the final day, and they're going to stand before him alone. They will not be able to say, well, my parents were really good, and so I'm a, you know, I'm grandfathered in, you know, or if your parents, God forbid, were terrible, you know, and your dad was abusive and beat you, and your mom was a raging feminist, you know, and abandoned the family to be a boss babe and all these kinds of things, but you love Jesus. Well, then you're in.
Right.
You know what I mean? You have faith in Jesus. You trust in Jesus. So that's individual. The final judgment, true ultimate justice, is on an individual basis. And so in that sense, no, there's no blood guilt that the children are just inherently guilty because of something their parents did. That said, Tucker's right. It's not blood guilt. But that's not what Nick was saying. Nick wasn't that's not the argument he was making. What he was saying, though, is that we're not as individual as we Westerners like to think. The apple, turns out, does not always fall so far from the tree. Not in terms of guilt, moral culpability, but in terms of characteristics, in terms of inclinations, in terms of disposition. We are shaped. I can't just sever myself from all my ancestry and all my fathers. I have been shaped by a particular people with particular providence and circumstances over centuries and centuries and centuries. And for me to think that I'm going to just come into adulthood and independently make all these decisions in a vacuum without any bias, without any inclination one way or the other is really, it's arrogance. So that being said, if I'm talking about Europeans, I would say Europeans, have certain besetting sins. Right now, I would say one of them, those of European descent, would be toxic suicidal empathy, yes. Moral apathy. I think there's a few different things that we could point to and say, cowardice. Europeans, modern Europeans today, we've been shaped in such a way, we have become cowards. And I don't think it's in a vacuum. I don't think it's just a coincidence. I think it's because we fought two world wars. We never again kind of mentality.
Yeah. Well,
we came home. The greatest generation came home and said, we would like to avoid conflict.
Yeah.
From here on out.
For a very good reason.
For a good reason. Yeah.
And
totally.
And build a safe and prosperous.
But you and me who weren't alive for that, we're still shaped by that.
Right. Well, and that was when the propaganda was implemented. Right. Cause it's not strictly a genetic thing. The genetics obviously have an effect on it. And of course, the way that the people that rule the world and the people that pull the strings think about this stuff, it's not, oh, you know, white people are bad, black people are good. It's, okay, black people should be targeted with the crack cocaine in LA, and the white people will be targeted with the opioids in Appalachia. It's just different strategies because they have different proclivities and inclinations. So there's a difference. It's not a judgment value difference, but it's so part of it's genetic, but then it's the propaganda that we're faced with. And the Jews are probably the biggest recipients of, or victims of, you could put it, where, you know, there are interviews with famous actresses who are like, at 4 years old, I would sleep out on the floor outside of my parents' room because I thought they would be taken away in the middle of the night because she'd been told stories about the Holocaust when she was like barely conscious. And it's like that. To me, that's evil. I think that's evil to subject a child to that, and it shapes their mind for the rest of their lives.
Constant fear.
And that is a psychological operation that's focused on Jews, that's not focused as much on us, but we get a different form of it.
Let me say one final thing. So I agree with everything you just said. But people, and not just individuals, but peoples, right? Collective peoples, race, nations, are shaped by way of providence slowly over time. I'm not a racial determinist. I actually think that the deck can be shuffled in the providence of God, albeit slowly. You can't just take a bunch of Haitians and say, hey, they're going to be Protestant American Christians, you know, in the next 15 weeks. That's right. That's not going to happen. But my point is this, in America, you know, with Jewish people, be like, well, what do you mean by Jew, ethnically or religiously? You know, because a lot of Jews, it's only, you know, 20% that actually are Orthodox Jews and practicing religiously. And I'm aware of that. I'm aware. Yeah, but there's a ton of Americans that don't even make a profession to be Christian, have not darkened the door of a chapel of a church in their entire lives, you know? And yet we all admit that America, it's not just, we're saying America is a Christian nation because each and every individual American is a Christian, born again, truly regenerate. No, we're saying it's a Christian nation because everyone, even the atheists in America, have been shaped by the Christian tradition, the Christian values, Christian thought, way of thinking. Okay. So now let's look at the Jews for a second. I'm not saying they all practice Judaism, Talmudic Judaism, that is very much anti-Christ, but that is the national religion. They have been shaped. Most Jews are secular.
Mm-hmm.
Even that's not a coincidence. They have been shaped by Judaism, and Judaism, perhaps more than any other false religion. Islam will send you to hell. Hinduism will send you to hell. Judaism will send you to hell also, but it is unique in the sense that Islam recognizes Christ as a prophet. He's worthy of some, you know, degree of esteem, and these kind of, Hinduism has a place for Christ. Judaism also has a place for Christ, the place being hell.
Right.
And so you're talking about a people, whether they practice or not, still the culture over centuries has been shaped by a religion that has fully rejected the Logos. Christ is in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word took on flesh and dwelt among us. That's the Gospel of John, chapter 1. So Christ, the living Word, the Logos, the logic, the reason, has been rejected by a people religiously, and then that shaped culturally with all of them, whether they practice the religion or not. They're going to be, I think, uniquely resistant towards natural order, some distinction. And there's a flattening kind of egalitarianism, tends to be the goal. And so recognizing that people, Europeans have been shaped, Africans have been shaped, Jews have been shaped, and recognizing this. And I think that's what, like, your Nick Fuentes is trying to get at. And Tucker didn't really let it happen, but I think he's trying to hit that element.
And there's a civilizational impetus to not talk about that ever. So it's hard to even get over that. And if you can't talk about this, how are we going to solve the problems that we deal with when there's incongruities? We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Everything we do is the tip of the spear. You are the tip of the spear when you spread the word, when you pray for us, when you buy products. So listen, we have shortfalls, and they're not even that big, but I understand the economy's totally shot. Our audience is as big as it's ever been, and back when the economy was going and we had an audience this big, we'd be in high cotton and I'd be able to expand. Right now, I'm just trying to stay on air. So I need you to make the decision to go to theowlshowstore.com right now and take advantage of the biggest sale ever. Black Friday came early. That's right. Black Friday has come early. We always launch it the week and a half before Black Friday. Be a little different. Black Friday comes early. Mega sale, the biggest sale ever. Buy one, get one free on all supplements. The Irish Sea Moss, the Ultramethylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Bovine Colostrum, and dozens of other amazing products. This is the biggest sale we've ever done. It ends Friday, November 28th. buy any supplement and get any other supplement for free. Normally, it's buy one bottle of IRC Moss, another bottle of IRC Moss, or buy one bottle of methylene blue, another bottle. No, this is add any supplement to your cart and get another supplement free. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together. Don't miss out. This offer ends Friday, November 28th. Visit thealexandthestore.com today and fuel your body, mind, and power the info war. Take advantage of this amazing deal while supplies last. And here's another little tidbit that makes this a total loss leader when you use it. If you go to alexjonesapp.com and download the Droid or Apple app for free, that are the top apps, just the last few months we launched it, folks at Bigly, the Alex Jones channel, the Alex Jones network, it's the same shopping cart on the app, your desktop or phone. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top. So everybody should get the app and should definitely use that. But if you want to support us more, get more funds in, then don't use the app and get the additional 20% off. I'm serious. It's like a form of a donation. When I tell you that I need your support, it's absolutely critical. This is the most critical time.
Ladies and gentlemen, Joel Weapon is my guest. We're talking about our survival as a species, more or less. You can follow him on X at Right Response M, Right Response Ministries, and RightResponseMinistries.com. He was only supposed to do the hour with us, but I felt like we had five more minutes in us, especially since we have really just touched on this topic, which is really the biggest topic in the world and has been for a long. Oh, I guess it depends on how you interpret that, but you know, for at least the last year, obviously Israel has dominated headlines continuously, and it's extremely difficult to talk about, especially when there are these guardrails that if you, you know, they're third rails that if you say something wrong, you're the worst person ever and are going to be shot in the neck. You know,
so true.
We got to talk about
so
it.
So true, King.
I mean, it's, you know, it's one of the things that like, even like starting to work at InfoWars, like I would find myself like unwilling to say things, unwilling to express certain things. And I had to like tell myself like, all right, if this was Muslims, would I pause?
Right.
If I was sitting here
right.
going, hey, the Muslims did this, it doesn't hit the tripwire in my head that goes, ooh, don't say that. And so I go, that's been implanted into me. And, you know, if what I'm saying is true and if it comes from a place of love, why shouldn't I say it?
Right.
So I'm willing to say it. I'm willing to say Christians are this, Muslims are this, but I won't say Jews are this. That's me. I need to get over that. And so, you know, it's, but every, you know, 99% of people are still in this, I think fabricated, you know, playground framework where certain things are forbidden and certain things aren't. And it's very frustrating. We have to get over that and be able to talk about this honestly and in a forthright fashion, because obviously there's tension that's getting to a breaking point.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on that?
I completely agree. You know, I was telling you during the last commercial break that, America at this point is, you know, it's not a nation anymore. It's a group of, if you go with the historical definition of a nation, it's many nations, right? You got the Somalian nation.
Right.
In America, right? You've got, you know, this nation, that nation, you know, Haitian nation and, you know, Pakistani nation. And here's the thing about every minority group in America. They all have their own group, the group that they're a part of, their identity as their in-group preference. And what we were talking about is that's not, like, to be fair, here's some of the nuance. That's not inherently sinister or malicious or morally wrong. It's not. And that's kind of like, you know, like when Nick was on Candace, you know, she was like, well, you called Dave Smith, you were like Jew. And, you know, and he was like, that doesn't mean I don't like Dave Smith. It doesn't mean he's a bad guy. I think Dave Smith is cool. I've listened to some of his stuff. I think he's insightful. He's funny. He seems like a great guy, actually. But is it crazy to think that a Jewish person, even if they're not, you know, a citizen of Israel, they're here, they've only been here, maybe they've never even visited Israel, that they would have some kind of, inclination, some kind of affection for Israel that we wouldn't have, because it's the one place that they can go. So all that being said, what we were building up to, you know, when we were talking offline was, those of European descent, WASP, whatever you want to call it, kind of the backbone, 59% of America, kind of founding American stock, white Americans, were the only group that has labeled itself as its own out-group. Every other group, Somalians in America, they care about Somalia.
Yeah.
Right?
And
we're the only ones who are literally, we care about everyone more than ourselves.
And isn't that, like, it's so much crazier. Like, I'm not a racist, but it makes sense to me. Like, okay, you're a black person. You like black people more than white people. That, yeah. Okay, that aligns. But the fact that we have the majority of white people in America actually hate white people.
They really do.
So demented about that.
It's a self-hatred.
It would be demented with any group to have that level of self-hatred. And it's right. Sick. And it's been deliberate. I think it's been deliberately fostered in us because it was white people and white culture that brought about individual freedom, democracy itself, like all of these wonderful things that protect us from domination, protect us from slavery in a real sense, came out of white Christian culture. They want to demonize that in order to demonize the things the founding fathers wrote and stuff like that. I mean, it's racial, but it's political, and it needs to be
rejected. Religious. It's racial, it's national, it's political, it's cultural, and it also is very much religious. It is a hatred of white people, but also a hatred of Christianity.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fruits of those things, man, we could go on for hours. We should. We need to do this.
Thanks
again.
For having me.
This has been fantastic.
I've got a new book coming out about Israel, The Hyphenated Heresy. Maybe in January you'll have me back on.
Joel Weben at Right Response In. We'd love to have you on again.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of thermoregulation issues, morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue. And the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The Methylene Blue. Yeah, the Methylene Blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his self-element formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned into The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We still have a lot to cover on today's program, but I do want to remind you, BOGO subs. I'm going to say it until you're saying it to yourself. I don't know why. I don't know why it cracks me up so much. Literally driving home yesterday, I'm just saying to myself, I'm just BOGO subs, y'all. BOGO subs. It doesn't mean anything. It means buy one, get one free. That's what it means. Okay, I'll stop saying it. 12 days of Christmas sale right now. It's on at TheAlexJonesStore.com. For the remaining 10 days of this program, we will be running a series of limited time sales. These sales could end without warning because the products are selling out and could sell it at any moment. So do not waste time. Go today to TheAlexJonesStore.com, make your purchase, and then get something for free, whatever you want for free. Buy a cheap supplement, get an expensive one for free. Do your Christmas shopping there as well. Christmas is fast approaching. Don't wait. It's not going to be too long now until, the shipping is past Christmas. So go now. Go today. Don't waste time. Go to TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison. Get your Christmas gifts and get buy one, get one supplements all across the entire website. And you get the entries to win the vehicles, which are absolutely incredible. Someone's got to win it. Why not you? With that, we'll continue our coverage of just America itself collapsing into madness. And entirely, I want to make this point perfectly clear. This is happening entirely because of the failure of the Republican Party to uphold the wishes of its constituents. Looking at it on a bird's eye view, that's what's the problem here. The American people want the right policies. They're not getting it. We vote for Republicans and they fail. You want to talk about why Republicans are failing right now? It's not because everybody's turning socialist. It's not because everybody has a, sincere policy disagreement with the way the Republicans are running things. It's because they don't represent what Republicans are supposed to represent. They're not conservative. They bend on everything. They're weak. Hell, it goes back to the conversation Joel and I were just having. Why are people going to the Orthodox Church? Because it's stalwart, because it's strong, because it's masculine, because it doesn't bend with the wind, because it doesn't make little caveats because people that hate them are angry. It just says, this is the way it is. It's the way it is. You want to accept us? We'll welcome you. If you don't, you can leave. That's how America needs to be. That's how the Republican Party needs to be. And the Republican Party will learn this lesson one way or the other. It's up to them. They can either come along with us. They can support what we want. They can give us what we want. They can do the things that we vote for, and we'll be happy to vote them back into office again. Or they can resist, and they can go down in flames and bring the rest of the country with them. That's their choice. But this is happening, whether they like it or not. And I've got evidence to show you as such. Things like this. Trump is underwater with 18 to 29-year-old voters, showing a 48-point swing from a plus 9 approval rating in February to minus 39 approval rating in December. 48-point swing in less than a year. And every single comment on this thread, and there's actually another one because it's actually gotten worse as of today, Rasmussen, friend of the show, Mark, said it's actually hit a all-time record low of negative 12, according to his polls. For I think it was Republicans overall, may have been Trump himself. And, you know, he asked the question on X, why is this? What is happening? And every single response is too much attention to Israel, not enough to America. Just the way it is. You can get mad at me for talking about Israel so much, but until we stop serving them endlessly, it's going to be the problem. It's a problem. It's a major problem. We can't get what we want. We can't even get the people into office to do the things that we want because of the suicidal activities of the Republicans doing whatever the hell Israel wants forever. It's just baffling. Baffling. But it's not just Israel. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that Israel itself is the sole reason why the Republicans are going down. It's emblematic. It is a major concern. But really, it's just in line with the rest of the Republicans' difficulty in understanding our very simple instructions when we send them to Washington. Something gets, it gets confused every time, gets a little bit confused. See, we say, we want you to end the H-1B visa program. And they say, we hear you, we got you, we send them to DC. And they go, we did it, we are taxing the H-1B program. And we go, no. We said eliminate. And they go, sure, yep, we got you. We are drastically reducing the H-1B program. We go, no, we want an end to the H-1B program. And they go, we understand completely. We are looking at plans to end H-1B visas. And we say, okay, good. They're looking at plans. And then it never happens. Every time, this is the way it goes. We want mass deportations. They're like, yes, absolutely. 100%. They're like, we are definitely going to reform the intake program. We're like, no, my God. I mean, just over and over and over again. This is why you're failing, Republicans. Are you listening to me? Donald Trump, are you listening to me? Byron Daniels? Byron Daniels is a great guy. He's actually one of my favorite people in politics. Honestly, if I had to, you know, list the top 10, Byron Daniels is probably going to be in that top 10. He has been a very stalwart MAGA champion from Florida. And he's running for governor, and he has the full institutional backing of the Republican Party. He has the backing of Donald Trump. He is a black guy. He's got the minority, you know, aspect to his character. He's got, on paper, he should be a shoo-in. He is actually losing in the governor race in polls to another Republican named Fishback. Okay, Byron Daniels. I mean, on paper, like the national name recognition, the notoriety, the you know, years of evidence to point to people and go, look, I've been a stalwart defender of you. He has absolutely everything that should make him a shoo-in, a sure thing for the Republicans. He now is behind Fishback 43 to 29. Donald's at 29, Fishback at 43. Why is that? What's happening here? What is it that can be so powerful that this guy that, frankly, nobody's ever heard of, and no offense to Mr. Fishback, I hadn't heard of him for about a week ago. He clearly does not have the national profile that Byron Daniels does. What could it be about him that puts him above Byron Daniels in a poll for governor, running for governor of Florida? I've got two videos to show you, one from Byron Daniels and one from Fishback, and I think they may elucidate some of the issue. Let's go first to clip number 17. This is the guy the Republicans are running to be the next governor of Florida to, you know, take the reins from Ron DeSantis. Let's watch.
Modernize a lot of these different visa programs, do all that work, do it, get it done. And I think the American people, whether you're liberal or conservative, will say, okay, now that our immigration system is sound and modernized and we've secured our country, now let's take a look at the people who are here illegally. And I think the American people, we're great people. We are good people. We're a beneficent people. And with those people who are here working hard, doing those things that they should be doing, is just as good neighbors and good people, we would make them and put them on this pathway to citizenship. But I think the pathway to actually fixing immigration in our country is possible. But we have to have honest conversations with ourselves. We got to have honest brokers, frankly, on both sides of the aisle, because we can come to a solution that actually respects citizenship in our country and actually creates a stable legal immigration process in our country.
Yeah, he's talking about amnesty. He's saying to give amnesty to the illegals. Who do you think wants that? Why do you think you're losing, Byron Daniels? Could it possibly be because when every single one of your constituents is yelling at the top of their lungs, deport the illegal immigrants, you're giving interviews talking about a pathway to citizenship, you absolute moron? Like, what do we have to do to get our message across? Are we not being clear with what we want? We don't want a pathway to citizenship. We don't want to have nice people on both sides discuss this. We want to put a line in the sand and defend it. We want to say 100% deportations. And hell, if the negotiations go away that we can't quite get 100% of what we want somebody on our behalf negotiating in a way that benefits us and does not start off on the enemy's ground. Like, what is hard to understand about this? What is hard to understand? Okay, in realpolitik, you got this bicameral system. We gotta make deals sometimes. You don't give in before the negotiations have started. You say we want mass deportations. We want 100% elimination of illegal immigration in this country. That's where I'm beginning negotiations, and I'm not willing to move very much. So let's talk. Is it, like, it's so unbelievably frustrating. Who are they listening to? Who is telling them this? They're going to learn. That man, Byron Daniels, who I, like I said, been one of my favorites. He's been really a solid dude in the MAGA coalition for as long as I've known him in there. He's talking about amnesty. He's talking about illegal immigrants who have been good neighbors. We need to make them a path to citizenship. I'm sorry. Is this a video from 12 years ago? Like, what are you talking about, sir? Right now, mass deportations is the moderate stance. The majority of people that would vote for you, the Republicans in your district or your state, most of them want the illegal immigrants shot out of a cannon into the sun. Most of them don't care how we get rid of the illegal immigrants. They want their country back. That's what you need to understand. That's what Republicans need to understand. The things that you are being told by the advisors are extremist positions to avoid, like mass deportation. Those are the moderate position at this point. Most of your constituents want things that I can't even say on the radio. Get with the program or don't. I don't care. You'll be gone. You're not going to get elected anymore. And unfortunately, that means that likely the Democrats are going to get elected, and then they're going to bring 40 million more people in, and they are going to give amnesty to your little friends. And then the country we know as America will never exist ever again. That's it. We're dead. Dead in the water. Just running out the clock at that point. That's unfortunate. What I would prefer to see is not voting for these Republicans. Not voting for them, and instead voting for people like, well, Mr. Fishback here. Clip number 8. Here's the ad that's pinned to his X feed.
My name is James Fishback, and I'm running to succeed Ron DeSantis as Florida's next Republican governor. I'm running for Florida governor so I can make life more affordable for you and your family, easier to afford groceries, to buy a home, to raise a family, and when it's all said and done, to retire with dignity. I'll do that by stopping the H-1B scam so our workers, especially our college grads, can get jobs again. I'll tell Blackstone, Airbnb, and foreign investors that no, in Florida, you can't buy our homes because our homes are for families. And I'll stop the construction of any AI data center that threatens to raise our electricity bills or poison our water supply.
And I'll completely and totally eliminate property taxes for every Florida resident. Because in America, you don't rent your home from the government. You own it, free and clear. Nowadays, not all Republicans are the same. If a Republican politician supports the H-1B scam that fires our workers, he can't be our next governor. If he goes out and supports the building of AI data centers that threaten our electric bills and our water supply, he can't be our next governor. And if he goes to Congress and does nothing for us, but makes millions of dollars trading stocks for himself, he can't be our next governor. Congressman Byron Donalds can't be our next governor because he won't fight for Florida like Ron DeSantis has. I will. I'll fight to preserve Governor DeSantis's wins by keeping Florida free from DEI, radical transgenderism, Soros-backed prosecutors, child predators, voter fraud, and the millions of illegals that invaded our country on Kamala Harris's watch. I'll do that because unlike Byron Donalds, I'm not a politician. I'm an investor and a businessman. I stood up to Wall Street. I sued the Federal Reserve, and I filed a landmark brief with the Supreme Court defending President Trump's right to fire corrupt federal officials. I started Incubate Debate, a free high school debate league for thousands of kids across Florida so they could learn how to debate, discuss, and grow as Americans. I love our state. I am a fourth generation Floridian. My great grandfather fought in World War I and then owned a small hotel on Fort Lauderdale Beach. My grandfather fought in World War II and ran 750 head of cattle in Okeechobee. My father proudly drove the city bus in Broward County, where I was born and raised. I went to Florida public schools from kindergarten to graduation. And even though I grew up in South Florida, I now call the Panhandle home. I'm an unapologetic Christian who believes that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And I'm a proud American who will never apologize for our history. In the coming months, I'm going to meet as many Florida voters as I can, where they live, work, and pray. I'll visit all 67 counties because Florida's next governor has to be someone you can see, talk to, and even debate with. I look forward to seeing you soon. My name is James Fishback, and I approve this message because Florida is our home, America is our birthright, and we will never let them steal it from us.
Yeah, pretty unapologetic. The man has a video of a Confederate statue in his ad saying we are not going to be ashamed of our history. He is now leading Byron Daniels by nearly 20 points. Are you getting the message yet? Are you getting the message yet that all of your little caveats, all of your little, apologizing for how you are and promising to, you know, adopt the leftist policies as long as you don't call them names? Like, it's not working. It's not what we want. Again, I can't even. Now, full disclosure, we're actually going to have James Fishback on the show. I'm very excited to talk to him. And he's running for governor of Florida. And, I got to admit, at first, the guy came out of nowhere. So suddenly, I don't know if it was the same with y'all, but on X, I'd never seen this guy before. Suddenly I'm seeing him everywhere. Suddenly it's like videos of his speech everywhere. So much so that I actually got suspicious. I was actually like, okay, who is this guy? Why did he go from never seeing him to seeing him everywhere? So I just want to make clear, like, I'm not like I don't know him. I talked to him once. I said, you want to come on the show? He said, yes, we connected him with the producer. That's all I've, so I don't even know that much about him. This is emblematic. This is a symbol. This is a lesson for the Republicans across the country to hear. We are done with the corporate crap. And hell, you know, that may be part of the plan. This whole saga of Donald Trump losing all of this support. This may be the two-party system working as intended to literally cripple and destroy the Republican Party on purpose by design to leave us a one-party state at the end of it. Could very well be. It's not an excuse. The people of America don't want your reaching across the aisle. We don't want you making little carve outs for illegal immigrants because they're such good neighbors. We're done with all of that. We're done with all of that. All of it. All of it. Yeah, including the Confederate statues. Yeah, including just all of it. Just all of it, all of it. And again, just go through James Fishback's X feed at @J_Fishback. And you'll see he's probably the most hardcore politician you've ever seen in your life. He is now leading Byron Daniels, who, again, I just want to remind you, Byron Daniels has been a key fixture of the MAGA coalition for years. He has name recognition on a national level. He has proven himself to be a responsible politician, but it doesn't matter because he is still spinning the old neocon lines of reaching across the aisle and being reasonable. We want extremism. What do you not understand about this? James Fishback, I'm the only person running for governor who will ban foreigners from buying up our homes to protect home ownership for you and your family. Well, gee, that sounds like a incredibly easy solution. How dare you suggest that? Is the poly market on their race? That's his skyrocketed. I can't see the very top of the screen, so I assume that's what it is. 63% chance they're giving Fishback. Byron Daniels cannot get a single like on a tweet after it's been up for 45 minutes. That's pretty pathetic. Fishback in the Florida Phoenix article yesterday, quote, America is for Americans. Have you ever heard a Republican politician say America is for Americans? It's like the simplest thing to say ever. I don't know if I've ever heard that. They'd probably call it racist. And it really just goes on and on. H1 Byron supports mass amnesty. I support mass deportations. GOP gubernatorial candidate James Fishback campaigns on the message that, quote, Florida is our home. The 30-year-old political newcomer wants to end H1B visas and remove every foreign worker that has stolen a job from us. If Republicans took this tack, you think Mom Donnie would have won in New York? Do you think they would have swept the special elections earlier this year? Do you think Nashville, Tennessee would be such a nail biter? Again, not even, you know, I want to make clear, like, I don't know that much about Fishback, so I don't want to be endorsing him without doing my research, but I also don't want to be claiming anything. I'm just saying, what do you not get about this, Republicans? What do you not understand about the way things are going? The trajectory of the American populace? Again, get on board or get run over. That's the choice that you have now. And you have to make the right one, because making the wrong one, the country is over. Literally, it's over. So, again, not sure what it takes to get this through to Republicans, but Republicans are, it's almost like they are, I don't even know how to put it, like scared of their own shadow, unwilling to do anything without permission. But then when they have permission, they go way overboard. You know, right now in Ireland, a judge has just jailed a teacher, Enoch Burke. We've covered his story. It's a saga. He has essentially been given a life sentence because he refused to refer to transgender people in the gender of their choice. He has now been thrown into jail for life. For life. Now, at times like this, you would think that as a nation whose founding and whose character is based on free speech and the ability to speak your conscience and the ultimate supreme gift from God that is our ability to express ourselves in accordance with our own interpretation of the world, you would think that maybe we would reach out and say something about this. You would think that maybe, just maybe, we would, you know, as senators or congressmen, American politicians might want to use the power they have, the influence of America, to do something about this. Well, at the same time that Enoch Burke was being thrown into jail for life, refusing to go along with the court orders, he had to call trans people in their chosen gender, Lindsey Graham wrote a scathing letter to the Irish government expressing his vicious outrage at Dublin's decision to rename a park after somebody who's not Jewish. That's what our Republicans are doing. See, the American people would be ecstatic. We'd be over the moon if our prosperity, our influence on the world stage was used to progress our ideas, our mindset, our belief system, our ideology, free speech. We can say to Ireland, hey, Ireland, you want to keep doing business with us? Let Enoch Burke out of prison. Instead, Senator Graham, quote, Dublin's move against Herzog Park shows, quote, cesspool of anti-Semitism. Lindsey Graham on Saturday denounced Dublin City Council's proposal to remove the name of Israel's sixth president, Chaim Herzog, from a park. Well, thanks, Lindsey. Thanks, Lindsey Graham. It's real great. It's wonderful. It's exactly what we want. Thank you.
The 12 days of Christmas sale is here at theallishowstore.com. For the next 12 days, we will be running a series of limited time sales. All supplements, while supplies last, are buy one, get one free. Add any supplement to your cart and get any other supplement free. This isn't buy one supplement, the same supplement, like Ultra Methylene Blue, get another one free. This is you can buy a $20 supplement and get a $40 supplement free. I mean, this is an insanely good deal. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together. Don't miss out. This offer ends Sunday, December 7th. Visit theallishowstore.com today and fuel your body, mind, and power the info war. Every purchase gets 50x entries to win our Jeep Rubicon 392. Oh, my God. I drove one of those. Just amazing. So smooth. This is not your granddaddy's Jeep. Every purchase gets 50x entries this week. Every time you buy something, you're putting 50 times in the sweepstakes to win our Jeep Rubicon 392, 10K cash on top of it, and brand new Ford Raptor, 10K cash for that. This only happens every few months at a crossover where we're about to end one sweepstakes and a new one's beginning. So there's this 1 week period every 2 months where when you enter to win, you can potentially win both vehicles, and it obviously increases your chance of winning one. The bigger issue is it funds this operation. And we can't do it without you. And we have changed the world together. And InfoWars is more influential than ever thanks to you being in the InfoWar. Everything I sell is the very best supplement we can get, the very best highly rated. I take it all. And it has changed my life taking the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Bovine Colostrum. These aren't sexy names, but boy, they have sexy effects. The Ultra Methylene Blue. And again, consult your physician before you take Methylene Blue. Ours is medical grade, the strongest out there. Talk to your physician first before you take it. This isn't a game. But Bovine Colostrum, should probably rerun that ad. It was just me at dinner for my dad's birthday in November, right after he had open heart surgery. Thank God it went well. And they had just gotten my Bovine Colostrum before we even rolled it out a few months before. And my mother's like, our hair, our nails, our skin, this is insane. Well, Bovine Colostrum works really great. This is the best. We got the private label, the bestest out there. That's just an example of what is available at theallishowstore.com. So you can buy any supplement, buy one, get any other supplement you want free, and you've got just 5 days to do it until the 7th of December, 2025, and it's a total win-win. But you're going to get the Bovine Colostrum and have a great effect. You're going to get the Methylene Blue and have an incredible effect. You're going to get the Irish Sea Moss and have a great effect. Now, things like the Irish Sea Moss and Shilajit take a week or so to build up to feel the effects. Same with Bovine Colostrum. Not the case with Methylene Blue. Not the case with our turmeric. That is the strongest. 95% cumanoid. The average turmeric product's 4%. Still works great for inflammation and, you know, helps your overall immune system and health. So these are all game-changing, amazing products at theallishowstore.com. And I want to thank you all for your support. Wide selection of Patriot apparel, you name it. Do your Christmas shopping with us. Ball caps, T-shirts, hoodies, limited edition sweaters. Don't fight the crowds. Get great deals and support the InfoWar. Just decide to do your Christmas shopping at theallishowstore.com and let's continue to change the world together.
In the heart of Texas, where the wild coyotes roam, stood the Alex Jones store, his merry home. The shelves were stacked high with Shilajit, turmeric, bovine colostrum, too. And he was always stocked high with the precious Methylene Blue. But up on Mount Microchis lived the Grinchiest Grinch that ever was cast. And he stuffed all the supplements in his bag with glee. He took Methylene Blue, Red, Ultimate Life Force, and the Shilajit. In the morning, Alex appeared with a shout. The globalist Grinch just robbed my Christmas shop. To be continued.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. You know, we did an episode of Moonbase Live yesterday. You can find it on my X if you want. It's we had Joe Wakili on, He's a producer for the Hodge Twins, and it was very fun. And he asked me a question at the very end that I don't think I've thought about very much, but I think is worth addressing. He said, how does it feel to know that you guys beat the World Economic Forum? I thought about it for a second. I said, it feels good. It feels really good. You know, we beat them, right? We beat the World Economic Forum. We beat climate change. We even beat the Ukraine war. Like, when you really look at what the plans were for humanity, basically, option one, plan A has failed. So they're moving on to plan B. And the World Economic Forum is maybe the best symbol of this. Klaus Schwab ain't there no more. And I mean, they say in their own conferences, they go, you know, we lost. They intended COVID to be still going on to this day. Anthony Fauci still refers to this as COVID year 5, right? They intend us to be locked down until the food systems started failing and they had to implement rationing and, would have implemented the Mark of the Beast system at that point. We defeated that. Okay. Climate change now, Bill Gates is downplaying and it's not that big of a deal. Don't worry about it. Okay. We defeated them. All right. The Ukraine war is coming to an end, whether Europe likes it or not. And Europe is trying hilariously to really start a war with Russia. I say hilariously because they do not have the ability to fight a war with Russia. Certainly not without American help. And we're not planning on doing that anymore. We have stopped so many of their plans in their tracks. And we don't really talk about that enough. We don't really talk about it enough. But the World Economic Forum, the reason it's the perfect symbol, Klaus Schwab had to retire. He was basically forced out. They're mad at him because he failed to be the captain of the ship that, brought us into the New World Order. And so who replaced him? Larry Fink, head of BlackRock. So here you see the change in tactic. They've gone from attempting to seduce the world into willingly accepting the New World Order. The image I always say of like you're trying to cage a tiger and the tiger at the last moment looks around, notices a cage and starts to back up, and the New World Order had an option. They could have laid low. They could have relaxed and let the tiger get comfortable again and try again to seduce him and trick him into coming into the cage, but they're not patient enough for that. They're not reasonable enough for that. They instead want to reach out and grab the tiger and pull us in. So that's the strategy change that they have adopted. It's not Klaus Schwab trying to make you think that this is some sort of sophisticated, brilliant thing. If you don't go along with this, you must be some sort of Luddite. So if you want to be a part of this cool new European technocrat class, you'll just come along with us. Like, that doesn't work anymore. So they're just going to have Larry Fink just use the financial system that he controls to just make it happen, whether we like it or not. That's their strategy. But we have defeated the World Economic Forum. We have defeated the climate change hoax. We have defeated the Democrats. We have defeated the socialists in the realm of the info war. Now, they still control a lot of the levers of power. We have not yet wrestled those out of their grip. We have not yet set the train on the right tracks, but we are on board. And we are in hand-to-hand combat with the people driving the train right now, and they are stumbling and falling. Things like this, quote, we must protect Volodymyr. Leaked call shows European leaders conspiring against Trump peace plan. Yeah, too bad, suckers. In a development that is not entirely surprising, European leaders are claiming that Washington is looking to betray Ukraine and President Zelensky during the potential formal peace negotiations with Russia. Quote, there's a possibility that the United States will abandon Ukraine on territorial questions without providing clarity on security guarantees, French President Emmanuel Macron reportedly said in a leaked phone call with other European leaders. Likely, this was an intentional leak and a bit of strong signaling to the Trump administration, as Europe has not been on board with the U.S. president's proposed peace plan from the start. There's a possibility that the U.S. will betray Ukraine on the issue of territory without clarity on security matters. It's a great danger for Zelensky. However, Macron's office has subsequently sought to clarify that, quote, the president did not use those words. Well, but that's the intention. So, like, Europe is still trying to get this war going. It ain't happening, folks. It's just not happening. You do not have the capability to do what you want to do. Now, in reality, what they want to do is not fight a war with the intention of winning a war. They want to fight a war in order to accelerate all of their other tyrannical and murderous intentions. Look at the history of Europe over the last five decades. Do you think the people that are running that continent, you think the people that have made their way to the top of the power structures of the most sophisticated civilization to ever live, you think they're dumb? You think they're stupid? You think they're not good at what they're doing? Or do you think they're evil? Because those are the only options. Because Europe over the last five decades has been in a precipitous downfall. They're currently in a feedback loop, a downward spiral that it may be impossible to recover from. I mean, industrially, they're out of the running. They're blowing up their own energy production facilities and trying to start a war with the person they get their gas from. Like, they are not retarded. Let me clarify. They're not retarded. They're dumb. They're evil. Dumb's not the right word. They're deliberately destroying the country that they're in charge of, the nations that they're in charge of. Western Europe's globalist leaders undermine Trump's peace plan. German Air Force deploys Eurofighters to Poland. Eurofighter jets. Germany's increasingly unpopular and illegitimate globalist establishment, now led by former BlackRock executive Friedrich Merz. Is she really a BlackRock executive? So you're telling me that the leader of Germany is a former BlackRock executive. The leader of France is a former Rothschild Bank executive. The leader of Canada is a former Bank of England executive. I think I'm seeing a pattern here. I think I'm detecting a shadow establishment that has nothing to do with democracy. So at this point, the banks are just running us. So in the same way that they've replaced Klaus Schwab with the head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, the World Economic Forum, now every European country, more or less, is governed by somebody who was previously a investment banker with BlackRock, the Rothschild Bank, or the Bank of England. Oh, okay. What did Keir Starmer do? He wasn't in finance, though. He was a lawyer who let out all the grooming gang victims, or the grooming gang perpetrators. So he paid his dues to the New World Order anyway. So their plan, impoverish and enslave humanity in a digital gulag through COVID. Darn it. Trump forced them to release the vaccine. I know you hate Trump and the vaccine, but it did destroy their plans, whether you like it or not. And we reported on it as it was happening. So there's really no excuse for misunderstanding what the intention of Operation Warp Speed was. It was to stop the elite's plans, who intended to keep us locked down until the starvation commenced, because then they'd have the infrastructure and the impetus to create the Mark of the Beast system, starve you if you don't obey, QR codes and all that. They also intended to start a widespread European-wide war with Russia. I think their intention with Ukraine was to have it be a sort of permanent battlefield, kind of like Syria, where for the next 15 years they were hoping they would be feeding in the youth of Europe into Ukraine, because they really thought it's why the Azov battalion was always on the forefront of their propaganda. And you know, I think maybe our side fell for this a little bit because it was so ridiculous, because they're like, wait, they're, you know, Ukraine is going to fight, but one of their most, you know, in the forefront, invisible contingents are literal Nazis. It seemed ridiculous. It's only ridiculous if you don't understand what their intention was. You know, ISIS fought in Syria for 15 years, was created in no small part to destroy Hezbollah and the Bashar al-Assad regime as weapon against Iran. You know, most of the people that fought and died in the Middle East in ISIS were not from the Middle East. They're from Europe. So you have Saudi Arabian Wahhabist mosques set up in Europe, radicalizing European youth and then sending them to die in ISIS. I think the same thing was happening in Ukraine, where they put the Azov battalion out front because they expected, with like a rising tide of like white identity, they were going to co-opt that and say, yeah, we're fighting for white pride. We're the Nazis, and you're going to come join us in Ukraine to fight our old enemies, the Russians. Yeah, I think they expected that to work. It didn't work. But they expected Ukraine to go on for like decades. They'd be able to sell weapons. They'd be able to kill a bunch of Europeans. They'd be able to weaken Russia and eventually go to full war with Russia. And of course, if you want depopulation and starvation conditions and a total reorganization of the entire economy and censorship that has the force and the power of, wartime censorship. Like, what you needed was a war. Like, they want a war with Russia so that they can get all of what they're doing now slowly. They could get it so much faster with a war. So that was the intention of that. The intention of climate change, of course, it corresponds to all of this and works alongside all of this to demonize life itself as somehow hurting the earth and, enforcing anti-human measures that way. Our exposure has, in a very real and tangible way, defeated all of this in the minds of the people. People aren't accepting it. We aren't falling for it. I was getting my hair cut the other day, I guess on Monday before the show. Random barbershop in Austin, random sort of hipster dude cutting my hair. Cool guy, into Warhammer. It was fun. But he's talking, and we're chatting like you do with your barber. I didn't get into what I do, he's talking about a movie, and he's going, yeah, this character, he was kind of like a mix between like Elon and Fauci, if Fauci wasn't evil. And he just like kept talking, and I was like, is that the understanding now? Like, have we reached critical mass? He didn't know I was conservative. He didn't know I was right wing. I didn't say anything about conspiracy theories or Fauci or COVID before that. Totally out of the blue, totally randomly, he references Fauci and says, if Fauci wasn't evil. And I was just like, oh, right, we won. Okay. Mark one for the good guys. If you're hipster barbers in Austin know that Fauci's evil, I think we won. I think we won. I think we won against all odds. I think the greatest psyop ever pulled in all of human history ran up against the wall that is InfoWars and crumbled to dust. You did that. We did that. Isn't that fun? Isn't that fun to think about? Isn't that fun to think about where it goes from here? Isn't it fun to understand that that's why things are going so crazy? That, if you watch the mainstream media, they're not going to admit that they're losing. They're not going to go around showing you that the average person out there thinks Fauci is a scumbag and Bill Gates is evil and climate change is a scam. They're not going to tell you that. But they know. But the people at the top, they know which way the winds are blowing. And they're freaking out, which is why they're trying to implement censorship. It's why they're trying to get all of these laws passed and make us more like Europe so they can throw people in jail for years on end for their tweets. And on that note, like, as much as I sort of buoyant when I think about how successful we've been, how much we have been able to counteract their propaganda, I don't want to be too celebratory, because what is still going on right now in America and around the world is truly horrifying. And, we talk about this stuff all the time. It's the classic thing where you sort of hear about it and you go, oh gosh, that's terrible. But every once in a while, like, it really hits me and I really think about it. And it really becomes clear, all over again, why we're fighting for this, what this is worth. We just showed you yesterday a video of a UK minister saying they're getting rid of jury trials. Getting rid of jury trials. Okay? A staple of English judicial practice since the Magna Carta is just quietly going away because it's inconvenient. That's horrifying. We hear often about the number of people and the severity of the punishment of people being arrested for tweets or their speech in the UK. And you hear about it so much, you almost get numb to it. But like, do you understand how utterly brutal, how utterly inhumane it is to arrest like a father for 3 years? People go to jail for 3 years or more in the UK for saying things in private. This person, it was a public tweet, Welsh man, 20 months in jail for a tweet. A tweet that's not even offensive. A tweet that is, frankly, just a very basic and innocent expression of frustration. 20 months in prison. Especially if you have a kid. Because that's what always gets me, is I just think about, like, you know, my son is 4, almost 5. And it's like, what if I had missed from the time where he'd just been able to walk until now? Think about what you would have missed. Think about the just permanent damage you would do to that kid and the father. And it's just, it is so brutal. And this is from judges who let murderers out, who cover up for serial rapists. And they're throwing fathers in prison for years because of tweets like this one. David Morgan from my ancestral homeland of Wales. I'm sick of hearing about the Holocaust. I'm a 22-year-old white male growing up in a world where every single negative aspect of life is Jewish. Government, banking, entertainment, porn. But the second I say a word, all I hear about is the GD Holocaust. F off. 20 months in jail for expressing this opinion. Is it offensive? I guess, maybe, I don't know. I'm not offended by it, personally. Would a Jewish person be offended by this? Maybe, I guess. I mean, the government is dominated by Jewish interests. That much is true. Banking, obviously, historically, came about out of a Jewish community. Entertainment, dominated by Jews. They'll be the first ones to tell you it. Porn, same thing, right? A rabbi owns Pornhub and all those websites. The number one contributor to AIPAC is OnlyFans. So, I mean, he's not wrong. He's just frustrated. Now, if he'd said this exact same thing, but said how great it was, he wouldn't go to jail because this is arbitrary. Because he didn't violate a law. He didn't call for violence. He didn't even directly insult a person or even a group. He said, it's frustrating that I see all these things wrong in the world. And when I talk about the Jewish influence in any of these industries, I have to hear about the Holocaust again as a 22-year-old guy in England whose entire life has been marred by the continual and covered up rape of a million British girls. It's like, what? But Jews were mistreated in Germany 80 years ago. And that's why I can't talk about my life now. Like, this is absurd, but it's not even about, it doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter what he said. He could have written F the Jews and he still wouldn't deserve 20 months in prison. And it's coming here, folks. It's coming here. It's absolutely 100%. The bills are being written. The precursor laws are being passed. And if we aren't aware and cognizant and fired up about what this means, that's the thing. Like, you know, it can be hard to get fired up about things like that are just concepts. Free speech. Yeah. But it's like, you don't even have to care that much about free speech. What you have to care about is the consequences of not having free speech. You have to understand that we are headed towards the cliff of the abyss. And if we go off, there is no coming back, because once they eliminate free speech, you can't argue for free speech anymore. This is a bright red line that we have to scare our politicians away from even approaching. Okay. Forget getting up to the line and starting to cross it. We have to scare them away from even entertaining the idea that we will ever have laws like this in our country. 20 years in prison for a tweet, and it's going to be hard for them to get this, because the thing we have to reemphasize and reassert over and over is that our rights do not come from the government. They come from God. And this is not a talking point. It's not just quoting the Constitution to prove what a patriot I am. This is a fundamental reality that we have to reassert over and over again, because they have to understand that we do not have to, and actually have to, be against laws that try to restrict our natural rights. In other words, we have to make it clear to them that as Americans, with our own internalized understanding of the First Amendment not giving us our right to free speech, but writing down our pre-existing right to free speech, We have to let them know that we will never give that up. And any laws passed in that regard will be ignored and treated as treason and violently resisted. Violently resisted. In the UK right now, if the police officer knocks on your door and says, you have tweeted incorrectly, sir, come with us, you kind of got to go with them. They don't have the First Amendment. They don't have the free speech like we do. Now, in America, if a cop comes to your door and says you're under arrest for your speech, and if you didn't threaten anybody, you didn't actually cross the line into what can be criminal speech, threats or doxing or, you know, stuff like that. But if you express an opinion like this, if you express an opinion like, hey, all this negative stuff in my life seems to come from Jews, and then, you know, the Holocaust gets brought up if I ever talk about it, and the cops come to throw you in jail for 20 months, it is your obligation as an American to let them know that that's an invalid law. It does not count. It does not supersede your right to express yourself, and that you'll defend yourself in the same way that you would defend yourself if the mafia came to take you away. If the Crips or the Bloods or any other criminal gang came to kidnap you, that is now the relationship between the American citizen and the police. Like, the First Amendment is not an option. It is not something to be negotiated over. It is something that is here. It will never not be here. And those of us who believe in it will die or kill to uphold it. Do we get that? Randy Fine, do we understand that? Let's go to clip number 12 here. Randy Fine has introduced a bill to force the State Department to start delivering briefings on the rise of anti-Semitism in Europe. Let's watch.
This bill directs the State Department to address that growing threat of anti-Semitism, to make clear to our European allies that the conduct that they have allowed to take place within their countries
is simply
unacceptable.
So not only are they not standing up against the censorship of Europe, they're putting on their gay little hat, shoving their fat ass into a chair in the Congress, and telling us that it's America's job to punish Europe for not being more censorious. This ain't going to fly. It's not going to last. There's a distinct tension developing right now that will break at a certain point, unless people like Randy Fine shut the hell up forever. But he's going to keep pushing us until things get really bad. So that's just where we're at. It goes up to Randy Fine. I mean, Randy Fine is looking at Europe, who's throwing people in jail for 20 years for saying, I'm sick of hearing about the Holocaust. And he's like, not enough. Not enough. We need to use America to force them to censor more. Yeah, this is an incompatible dualism that we have here. So America, the First Amendment is sacred. We should be doing everything we can to export it to other places. We should be using the power of America not to serve the interest of Jewish supremacists, fat-ass retards like Randy Fine, but instead to serve the interests of the American people, our history, our heritage, our founding principles, the First Amendment, free speech as a concept having been given to us from God. That's our responsibility. It's our role. And people like Randy Fine are incompatible with that and need to be removed from office peacefully. By the way, all I'm saying is, crew kept telling me don't say BOGO subs. They kept saying don't say BOGO subs. Nobody knows what it means. It's you're confusing everybody. It's a total trend online now. Everybody's saying it. Everybody loves it. It's BOGO subs. Buy one, get one supplement. Buy any supplement on thealexjonesstore.com. Get any other supplement absolutely free. Do it now. Join the movement of BOGO subs.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said,
This was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win, but regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.